What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 97 of Value Town. I'm Chan-Man B. Joining me, my two co-hosts, Noxious and Zalay. What's up, fellas?
Yes, doing good as usual.
All right.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. It definitely is. And it's a beautiful day to have our first time guest, Mr. Ponyhoff here, joining us from Germany and probably during his normal bedtime. So thanks a lot, Pony, for being awake and hanging out with us today.
No problem. I'm really excited. I always wanted to be on the show, actually.
Awesome.
So thank you for inviting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're looking great in that Superman shirt, man. Can't have a pride. Fill it out well.
Pony Gay in the chat, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, lots of things to talk about again, mostly cards, of course, but we do have some events to talk about, as well as the big Heroic Tavern Brawl that finally came out last week. Actually, it came out... Did it come out before last week's show or right after last week's show? I can't remember.
Not sure.
Yeah.
I think it was the week.
I think it was literally right before it. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to talk about it too much last week, but now, you know, it's over. I can really assess how it went. So we'll definitely do that. We have our own little stories. So we all got a chance to do it some. And then obviously we'll talk about a lot of the cards. The Jade Lotus cards came out, as well as some of the Shaman cards for the first time. So we got about, I don't know how many cards we got here, like 15 cards, maybe 16 cards to talk about. And of course, there'll be another card that's revealed during the show, as always. So I'm sure there'll be something tacked on at the end. And then at the end, we've got some questions. We got a lot of email questions. Hype! Finally, we've got some email questions, probably a lot of them from the audio listeners too. So we're going to go through those first. And if we have some more time, we'll take some questions from Twitch chat as well as Twitter. You can tweet those questions over to myself, at ChanmanB, and we'll take a look at them. All right, guys. Well, why don't we start with the Heroic Tavern Brawl? And I guess let's hear about everybody's experience with it. How many times did you guys play it in total?
11. Maybe like 7.
11. Okay, 11 from Pony, 7 from Zalay. Noxious, you were playing on the plane and stuff too, right? Or something crazy.
I was playing it on the plane for the first attempt with a druid. I played aggro druid.
Yeah, playing on the plane, bad idea, man.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. So I lost one. So I went like 5-3, I think, or 6-3 with the aggro druid, which wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And then second attempt, I made some jank-ass priest deck, went 4-3. And then the next time, the only reason I logged on or made the deck is because somebody in the chat was like, why aren't you playing the Tavern Brawl? And to make a point, I went in, paid 1,000 gold, made a priest deck with every random card I could, and conceded 3 times in a row. Because that
I think I faced one of those
what
priest
the
decks.
Heck? Why couldn't you have? You should tell me when you're going to be like queuing during that time.
Sure, no problem, dude. I'll let you know next time.
Expensive 1,000 gold.
But the thing is, like, I don't need the gold. I was just trying to, because people were harassing me to play that shit. Like, it was the best thing that's ever happened to Hearthstone. I don't think so. It's not for me. You know, like some people, they want the competitive aspect of Hearthstone to be emphasized. And I don't mind that. Like, I love the competitive aspect, but I don't think that was a good way to implement it. We've already discussed that, you know, that.
Yeah, we can definitely get all our feelings on it too. So you obviously didn't like it for sure.
Yeah.
So I played it 5 times, and who got 12 here? I got 12 once. I got 12 once.
Same.
So yeah.
Only 11.
I actually got it on my second try, too. So which one? Oh, 11. I saw that 11 run. You're so close on that. You got screwed really hard at the end by RNG.
Shamans stole my bike.
Exactly.
That's right. Stole your
bike. Freaking Zalay stole your bike, because I know Zalay did it with Shaman.
Yeah. I mean, everyone,
I did it with Dragon
once,
Warrior.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk. Let's just take a look at some of the decks. That may be a good place to start here.
It was Shaman stole my bike.
Shaman stole
That's
my bike.
A good one.
Let me bring up Zalay's. We'll bring up Zalay and mine's real quick. Where'd you end up putting it? Oh, it's that Shaman you just sent me, right?
I think.
Sorry, give me a sec, guys. I just got it, so it's gonna take a second. Here we go. All right, so this is Zalay's Shaman. Why don't you talk about it a little bit? I'll bring up my Dragon Warrior 2 here. There we go.
You know, pretty scummy shaman list.
It's pretty scummy.
My general mindset was I wanted something that was pretty good against other shaman, because that's like obviously the most popular thing in Heroic Brawl.
No question, man.
I kind of wanted to avoid weapon destruction because I was seeing a lot of like Tempo Mage and Zoo at the time. But I have like Fire Elemental for that critical 3 damage number. I was playing Alakir instead of Ragnaros because Ragnaros shooting totems is not great, and Alakir attacking into like a Flame Tongue and a Manatite is great.
Yeah.
And it does, it's the same role of being like a high end finisher while being, you know, a little bit more consistent in that matchup.
Yeah.
Maybe the most interesting card is the Cobalt Geomancer.
Yeah.
Spirit Claws into spell damage is like super broken, and spell damage into Maelstrom Portal or Lightning Storm is also super broken. So even though Geomancer is like a comically weak looking card, the spell damage synergy cards in Shaman are so strong, you can kind of support it sometimes with a draw from double Manatide and such.
Yeah, I mean, I played some. I was getting ready to play Shaman, and then like the Tavern Brawl ended on me. I was like, "Fuck!" All right, I didn't get a chance to actually try, but I did watch you play like your 12 win run with the Cobalt Geomancer, and it was huge. There were a lot of moments, especially in the mirror, that clearing the totems. Yeah, clearing the totems, getting the 3 attack is. It just takes one turn sometimes against Shaman to win, or baiting out. I think it looked like just baiting out AoE. Like if you can just bait out AoE for not very much value, then you win that matchup a lot, right?
Yep.
I had a friend finish 4 out of 5, 12 wins, if it's with mid range Shaman. Sick. That is
high roller.
Exactly, right? But a lot of games high roll. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I
Zalay's like, that's just the extreme end of variance. And Chadman is like, this guy's a god. Like, I'm not so sure.
Well, I mean, I think sure he did.
It's
I'm
something
sure
in there
well
closer to
the
Zalay, yeah, obviously. Yeah. He obviously plays it well, too. I mean, he has to play it well.
I mean, you kind of have to, right? Like, high rolling is only going to go so far. Sure.
Yeah. So what he did was he double oozed it and dropped the Barnes. But he didn't play Fire Elemental or Alkir. It was just like your standard of standard, and all he did was play double ooze. It was crazy. Well,
that's cool.
So I was like, how did you avoid all those shitty mulligans where you just get, you know, freaking thunder bluffs and drakes and you can't play shit for the first 2 turns?
He's like, it doesn't matter. I just hit my hero power and eventually I drop a 0-5/5 and I catch up at that stage, right?
Exactly. Well, that's the gist.
It helps out. It works a lot. That's the strength of Shaman, I think. It's like it can come back from bad spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if Spirit Claws plus anything is a good opening hand, right?
Yeah. Yep. You played some. Didn't you try a couple runs with Shaman, Pony, or no? Just one?
Nah, I just played everything else.
Oh,
but
that's
no
right. Shaman. That's right. I remember you.
Good for you.
We were being
good
similar.
For you.
There we are. Exactly.
I have played like no single Shaman since Shaman got annoying, apart from once Totem Shaman, because it was fun. With the witch.
Totem Bond.
Yeah, with the witch,
fun,
it was cool.
Man. Definitely.
I really didn't want to play Shaman. I just knew like I had to get a 12-win run, and like Shaman was the easy way to do it, so sure.
I took the approach that you kind of did, Pony. Like I basically tried to figure out a deck that would just beat Shaman, as well as Mage, too, because while I was playing... Yeah,
exactly,
was,
stupid Tempo Mages.
Yeah, it was all Tempo Mage, all Shaman. So that's... what I derived was just that the Dragon Package just generally is good against Shaman. And then, you know, Warrior just has an extra element to it, which is, it's got some tempo cards too, like Horcron and whatnot. So, ended up just building my own Dragon Shaman, threw in an Argent Horror Charge is awesome against Shaman. So, I threw that in there too, and ended up winning. Okay, actually, I lost my first 2 and won 12 straight.
That's pretty funny. The Horse Rider is good against Tempo Mage, too. It's a nice tech card for that metagame.
It definitely is. The Bash, the Slam into the Horse Rider is such a great... Or even just Fiery War.
Just Horse Rider at 3-2, right? There's a lot of 3-2s in Tempo Mage that need to die.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a good... Definitely a good deck. It worked really, really well. Just crushed those two. I basically started off playing against a Priest. A Priest, some... was it Anyfin Paladin maybe or just something that
I
wasn't
tried that
this
too
deck
it works
good.
Really really well
it does if you yeah it does too Anyfin if you can get the draws correctly it's pretty good
sure
but yeah so I ended up getting 12 with that. I tried Firebats Nazoth Warrior once. God, those games were pain. I mean, it was just took too long, dude. It took me like 5 hours to get
it
through just
slow.
Like 7 wins or 6 wins. I was just like, geez, this is too painful. I can't play this deck ever again. So
there's dinner, you're like, I'm in the middle of something right now and it's still, not ending.
I'm still here overpowering, sorry. that didn't go too well for me too. So I ended up I did a 5-3, a 6-3, a 7-3, and then 12-2. And then maybe another 5-3, so Just that 12-2, obviously an aberration there. So I'll take it, though. Definitely.
Well,
take it.
One is enough, right?
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about some of, I guess, Pony's decks here.
I actually played the new Dalphoria, and it took me 3 hours for 11 wins.
3 hours for 11 wins. Nice, man.
Maybe you just don't hero power fast enough, Chen, man. Like, you need some APM increase.
I must not, man. I must, like, I was definitely roping a ton.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable with the deck and the players, sometimes that's what's going to happen.
I haven't gone tryhard in a long time, so I was going tryhard during this.
Good on you, man. The good that you could enjoy it and focus. I was not, like, I'm sure in the different mindset, you know, if I were at an event or something and people were doing it, I would probably sit down and just, like, tryhard it as well and just care a lot. But for some reason, nowadays when I play solo, I have a hard time, like, just getting myself in the mindset of doing just Hearthstone and not doing 7-5 times, like, 50 on the side.
Paying the bills and...
Like, you play this card, play this card, and then I just kind of lose track of everything.
Totally. All right, so...
Tryharding this must have been good, though.
Milrogue here. So somebody had a post on Reddit that they got 12 wins with Milrogue, and they had a guide, too, so...
Yes.
Is it this one?
I was like, I have to do it. Thank you for the guide.
0-3.
I'm like, I'm the worst Milrogue player ever. I, like, never get it done. And I was like, well, what could possibly go wrong? Let's play 1,000 gold and go Milrogue. And we actually get 6 wins. It was hilariously working great. And the people were so sad losing against it.
That's an important part.
I have the Valiants and 6 mana 5/5s that I can't play because everything I do is just getting countered.
Dude, I love, like, the curator. Except your totem golem. Deck, like, when I was watching it a few times, the curator is, like, so clutch getting the... Getting the oracles and even the Drake too. It's pretty.
I was, like, so surprised how well the curator actually did. Even, like, after you gang up, and then you are able to reno only because of curator and
curator, because it's,
like, it was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of Milrogue, which is cool. And those at home that are listening in, it's Backstabs Preps, Shadow Steps. It's kind of small on my screen, sorry. Blood Mage, Thalnos, Doomsayers, Eviscerates, Gang Ups, of course. Sap, Bran, Cold Lights, Fans, Shadow Strike. And this is where it's kind of... So Refreshment Vendors, Azure Drake. Was that? A Skulker, too, man. I love that Skulker card. And then a Reno, Vanish, and then the Curator. It's a lot of fun. You guys need to try it out if you haven't got a chance. What decks are particularly good? What decks is it?
It worked even on ladder.
Oh, it did? Okay, nice. Yeah, so everybody can go at it. That'd be definitely good. And then the other deck you have here, that's basically Firebats. Oh, no, it's not. It's definitely heavier on the Nezahth side.
I saw it, like, on Mr. Yabbit's first, I think, and I found it so interesting because it didn't run Elise. But it was like, yeah, you damn don't need it in the mirror. You don't need it because you end up with, like, 5 cards left or 3 cards left and the monkey. More often,
right?
And
right.
Having the Nuzov trumps having a monkey often, because when he drops the monkey, you're just like, oh, okay, Nuzov, GG, game over, thank you.
True, yeah. but at the same time, if he saves the brawl and you just Nuzov, isn't it kind of? Well, I guess you have a lot of depth.
Well, you have the Twilight, you have to control better.
You
have to control
you both have to not play Nuzov and not play monkey.
It's so chicken. It's totally a game of chicken.
And then whoever's ahead on fatigue, you know,
wins
that way.
The game.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, this warrior deck has your typical Nezahth makeup. It's got the Twilight Summoners, which everybody I feel like is playing now in Nezahth decks, with Barnes too, and any other element that's kind of special about it, worth talking about.
I just part of why Twilight Summoner is so good is just the interaction with Brawl. Turn 4 Twilight Summoner into the threat of turn 5 Brawl. Whether you actually have the Brawl or not, they don't know, and they have to think about playing around it. So a lot of times they're popping that 1/1 for you to play around the Brawl, so it's just like a pretty good 4 mana card at that point that has good and soft synergy.
Yeah, and you can keep it, like, that's the thing, is that if they pop it, then suddenly you can keep your Brawl if you even intended to play it in the first place, so you can use the 5/5 for trading, and then just use other tools on top of it.
Nobody
so
wants to
really
pop that thing. Nobody wants
kinda,
to pop that
but you're kind of
clear
forced
the board.
To.
Exactly. Exactly. So, good decks too. I mean, definitely decks to try out if you haven't gotten a chance. The Warrior one's a little bit easier to play than, obviously, the Milrogue.
The
Milrogue
is like the save out. Like, if you just mulligan for the War Axe and then somehow get to turn 6 and then Grand Tournament, Resident Sleeper, game over.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the plan.
I like that plan.
I like that plan too. It sounds like a good one. But okay, so let's get, I guess, overall impressions of the Heroic Brawl. Noxious, obviously, don't like it. Mostly just because I think you think that they could have done something different with it, more so.
I guess I saw the target audience again. Mm-hmm. Like, they definitely mentioned that they had a specific target audience in mind, which is the hardcore scene. And I think a lot of the pros that were playing this were just really excited to play it. But, like, to me, I didn't see the difference between that and Ladder. So the only difference is that, like, there were the stakes, right? And to me, if you get excited about the stakes that are in a game, then it's just your dopamine receptor is going crazy. Like, I don't enjoy that specific thing. It's like rolling a roulette. I'm not a gambler.
Basically.
I'm not a gambler. And the stakes didn't appeal to me. They didn't make the game more fun.
Yeah.
So if anything, it just made it less appealing because you could see that it was that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like pretty blatant.
It's funny. I actually felt the same way as Noxious. I'm also not a gambler and I also kind of wasn't into it. My main issue with it was just the timing of it. It's like the worst metagame ever for this.
Yeah.
For this game mode.
That's true.
like, I think it's a good thing for the game to have, you know, access to this kind of, I think it was clearly evidenced. Like, if you looked at just Twitch streamer numbers, all of the big streamers were streaming and like the total viewership numbers for Hearthstone were insanely high. Yeah. So like, it's clearly something that people are interested in. Even if a lot of people didn't participate because of the cost, it's still like, it has to be good for the game to have access to this kind of thing from time to time. It just sucked that it was in the metagame where it's like, okay, well, if you want to win, you should be playing mid-range shaman, you idiot.
You like, idiot. No, you must play this deck that's been oppressing us for the last 6 months now.
Yeah.
Pony, what'd you think, man?
The funny part is I'm exactly no gambler too, like those two, but actually the stakes made it more appealing for me because it was like, okay, let's throw in 1,000 gold and like everyone is way more clutch about every win. I mean, it made me try hard. I never try hard on ladder. I just completely YOLO on ladder. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly for Tavern Brawl, I was like, okay, let's actually play a bit more focused and try to really get something good done.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was basically, I think me and Pony are probably in the same boat because I've talked about it on the show. It's been a long time since I've actually tried hard on the ladder, even tried to get to legend. So this was more of a mechanism for me to do that. And it kind of felt good, you know, like I'm definitely not burnt out, you know, from playing that type of Hearthstone. So having just like the few days or whatnot that I was doing it, it was kind of cool. It kind of made me want to play ladder a little bit again.
It's interesting. So the incentive of like potentially winning, or is it the fact
it was that the 12 wins.
Wins and losses?
It was the 12
like,
wins. It was the 12 wins.
I was going to say, like, if they added wins. This game mode without any entry fee.
Yeah, the entry fee. I didn't really care about the entry fee or the prize.
You have to go 12-3 or 12-2. That is, would you play it as much and would you try hard as much? Because my issue with it was, like, I'm not behind the premise of it. I just don't know why there's an entry fee attached to it. Like, it's...
I think the entry fee is just...
Because I love the idea of counting wins and losses. I love that. That's one of the cool things about Arena, is you don't just play, you know, until, like, a one-loss thing. You have to keep track of your performance, and you can get an average count of that. And there's not much data in the client to tell you what your win and loss rate are. Like, you just don't have that. So when you have it available, it, of course, gives you an incentive to try harder, because you see how well you do. But I don't know why there had to be like a cost attached to it.
I think it's
maybe,
just
maybe lower cost, lower like cost? 500 would
I'd
have been
be, I'd
bit
love
better.
A scaled cost. Like if you have no gold, you pay 100 and you're like your rewards scale with your entry fee.
That would be great.
Like you pay 1K, you can get like a ton, like 50 packs. You pay 100, you get 5 packs. You know what I mean? Like it scales based on your investment in it. I feel like that would be more, it would make the game more accessible to a lot of people, but.
So the one thing, I mean, I definitely agree that the accessibility was an issue, and there's like good and bad things about that. I mean, anything in Hearthstone should be accessible to the majority of the users, or all the users, ideally. And something like this, you know, have everybody share in it would definitely be much better and likely a more of a successful type of event. But at the same time, I think if you lessened it, it just wouldn't feel as special as you know, on the high end too. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't know if it's done, you know.
Yeah, the entry fee kind of makes it like this thing, like really okay. Oh, the casual Hearthstone player takes like ages to accumulate 1,000 gold. Maybe as a good arena player, you do it faster, and then really like just pumping 1,000 gold in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that makes it so appealing, even to watch, because you're like, oh, he put 1,000 gold in. I wish I had 1,000 gold.
Yeah, and it's a different dynamic. I'm willing to bet you that most of their entries were in money. Like I'm willing to bet.
I think so.
Like that it was all in $10.
I think
increments.
So.
It was rarely in 1,000 gold. Most of the entries had to be paid in real cash.
I lost 8,000 gold in total, but it's okay.
I lost 3.
You had fun?
because there's a free roll for one. So
it was great. I have three left, so it's good.
So the one thing that I would say that I kind of went back and forth about was the limit. So originally when they announced the 5 limit, and you know, I was watching everybody do it, and it was, you know, the first day was the biggest day because it was, there was a lot of, you know, it was new. There was a lot of urgency to it. There was a lot of, I only have 5 chances at this. So like, if you're talking about try hard, it was super try hard, I think, for at least the first few attempts. And I think it reflected too, just the community. We saw the biggest numbers, like freaking Firebat, like 50,000 or something at one point. I mean, Firebat's never seen anything like that, right? During his run, and he didn't even get to 12, right? So he was just on the way.
He went 0-3 with Priest, and he's like, "Yep, I guess we're fucked."
No, he got to 11, I think, right, with his Nizoth Warrior. But
maybe, but I know he got 0-3 with one of the runs out of something random. I'm not saying he got 0-3 max, like there's no fucking way.
No, no, that's
just
true.
Like one of these runs, it's like you're watching one of the best Hearthstone players you know, at some point in the past. He wouldn't call himself that anymore, but he's still very good.
For sure.
Like even the best, you know, have a lot of trouble, which probably equalized some of the, like, I don't know if it contributes to people saying this is just RNG stone, or if it helps people appreciate the 12 wins more. Like, I'm not sure what it does, because there's a lot of viewers.
You don't have to think about that. I mean, it's really just about how it's new. Like, nobody's gotten 12 wins, or at the time, maybe nobody's gotten 12 wins yet. But the whole thing I'm trying to get at is that the five limit I felt originally was bad. It was just like, oh man, it'd be cool if like people can continue doing it. And then they extended it to 100, and then that's what you saw. And then what quickly happened was it just became normal. Like Zalei, for instance, right? You like your streams, like you were just playing it, like, you know, just as if it was like a normal ladder, and that reflected in the viewership too. It just started becoming not special anymore. So in the end, I wish they would have kept a limit. Maybe the limit should have been 7, like 5 instead of 5, but they should have kept a smaller limit so that A, you would keep this kind of freshness, and then B, there would be like even opportunity for, let's just say, smaller streamers or whatnot to have their moment in the sun too, when, you know, all the big streamers are done with their runs. You know, maybe they save their runs until the end of the week, right? Until like most of the people are done, and then they get a shot to just be spot, you know, be highlighted and trying to get 12. A lot of people didn't get 12 wins. A lot of the big streamers didn't get 12 wins, including, I think, you, right, Paul, until the last day of it, right?
I don't know which day I got it.
Yeah. Well, I think a few of them that I watched, like you guys didn't, or some of them didn't get until the very last day. So what would have happened if they didn't get it, period? Then the next time they do it, it would be kind of big again. Now the next time they do it, I don't think other people will think it's as big of a deal. Like it's, I think it hurt like the future Tavern Brawls by Heroic Tavern Brawls by upping the limit in the end.
I can see that. Maybe five was too low, but 100 is too high.
Yeah,
it sounds reasonable.
I think 10 is even too high.
100 time wise, even.
Yeah, exactly. So, overall, I think it was a positive thing for the community. Everybody, just, you know, got excited at least for a couple days or three days. But the future, I don't know what's going to happen the next time they do it. You know, hopefully they do it after the expansion's out, because there will be a different meta. But I hope it still feels
the people
fresh.
To spend a lot of gold for the expansion, and then they have to make another Heroic Tavern Brawl.
Yeah, they have to do it again.
That's right. Just siphon just all the gold first. Yeah.
Maybe if the Heroic Brawl were like one per day, so you felt like, you know, you can't just spam them.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
So you want to log in every day and super try hard for that one session, and then you know, you do your regular thing.
That would be cool. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea too.
I like that system. I actually like that system. If they're going to implement a system like this one that is going to be semi-permanent, then I really like that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some events that occurred this week, as well as one that's going to be happening too, which is the DreamHack Open that's happening. I think it starts today?
Tomorrow.
No? Probably tomorrow, right? But let's just start off with that. DreamHack, you know, obviously, you guys aren't going because you guys are actually doing the show right now. Everybody else is like on either planes over there or they're just flying over there. But yeah, so anything worth mentioning you guys for the DreamHack Open? I mean, it's always kind of cool to have the Grand Prix being a Swiss tournament. And I know a lot of the players love that format. But I don't know, anything about DreamHack Winter you guys want to talk about?
I mean, it's just kind of like a big iconic tournament, right? Like that's why people are willing to fly all the way out there, even though it's like so cold and in the middle of nowhere, and it's this metagame, but it's that tournament. It's
this metagame. Oh god.
Yeah.
Shamans.
You can only play once, man. Or you can only run it as one of the decks.
But that's yeah. already worse enough for the day.
Yeah.
One and done.
Exactly.
Well, I'm gonna let like the Swiss bracket open all day, and I'm just like while streaming like at five. Let's see what's happening. It's always interesting to see who actually makes it through the bracket. Like for me personally,
yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, I know Zelaya's played in a few of the Dream Hacks, and I remember you at DreamHack Austin, man. I mean, it's tough getting through those Swiss rounds, and it's exciting too. It's exciting watching everybody, and you know, just in that completely focused mode in the same room across, you know, playing across from each of the players, and it's a really cool setting.
Yep.
All right. Well, since not too much to say about DreamHack, I guess we'll wait until after the event. Why don't we talk about some of the events that did happen? Red Bull Team Sealed Brawl happened again this last weekend, actually on Saturday, I believe. Temple Storm ended up winning. It's rigged. Totally rigged. Totally rigged. Rigged
when Temple Storm wins, right? Always rigged.
They won the first one too, right? They won both of them.
Yeah.
No, because they're pretty good at it.
Just kidding, guys. No.
It's as though they came up with the format. Yes,
exactly, right? They wrote the tool too, you know.
Well, I've played a couple tournaments. I've played, I think, three of the four tournaments that are like in that. Right. And I lost the one that was the Red Bull, but I won the two that were like individual. So
the World Series. Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So you're not responsible for your losses in the Red Bull.
I might have had something to do with it.
No, but the event was great. I mean, it was pretty much what I expected. You know, it was as fun as the last one. Pony, I know you really like this format, right? Like, did you enjoy
it? It's my favorite. Just like seeing the players. Like, it's another skill set. It's not just like everyone can learn the mulligans, play a deck 100 games or 1,000 games, and then be good with a deck. I mean, everyone can do that. But really, like, building decks from a limited card pool in a limited amount of time together with other people, that's just like, that's more skill than just playing Hearthstone. Yeah. And that's like what makes it really challenging and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. I really love these kind of team formats where you're working with somebody. Like, talking with somebody while you're playing Hearthstone is more fun than playing Hearthstone alone. And it adds, you know, a layer of complexity. Like, time management becomes more of a factor. Like, the rope gets a little bit more exciting if you're trying to figure things out with somebody instead of just on your own.
Makes sense.
Classic math issues like last time when the ropes coming
29 down. For sure.
29 for sure. Yeah. No, but overall,
but yeah, team events are so fun.
Yeah, definitely team events. And yeah, when you get a chance to work to get, like you said, co-op on something, it's definitely great. And especially when it's going on at the same time, that's the thing I like the most about like the sealed or the team brawl is that, you know, like you have people looking over each other, you know, like looking over here. It's like, hey dude, I actually need some advice on this play right here. Like, and they're playing at the same time. So it's like, you know, you're having that kind of interaction, which you don't see in any other event, not even any of the other team events. So the format itself is, beyond just the sealed is unique in its own sense. So one thing about the event I wanted to talk about is that the content itself is good. So when we look at the viewership of it, you know, the viewership for me, just quite frankly, doesn't match what how good the content is. And I think it was somewhere around 15, 16, 17,000, like the max incurrence, which what I saw or what I saw in some, you know, graph of it or whatnot. And that's way less than I think it should have. You know, like this is the type of event that should have, you know, have like 40,000, 50,000 people watching. Yeah. So, what's going on here? I mean, is this like representative in you guys' mind of what the community just watches from the standpoint of smaller events that aren't HTT?
I think viewership often is pretty disconnected from the quality of content because of factors like promotion. The event was not hosted on like some big streamer's channel. It was like on a Red Bull channel somewhere. Yeah, that's not something that people regularly tune into to watch Hearthstone content. And I didn't see the event being like super heavily promoted everywhere. Like, I'm sure it had some promotion, but it wasn't like Batstone, for instance, level promotion, right? And so with those factors, you get a great event that maybe people don't know is going on and they don't know to tune in and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Noxious, what do you think, man?
I was going to say, like, one of the big appeals of watching sealed events is that you watch the deck building. And there's a lot to be said about people just passing by an event and just hopping in to watch games. Like, if you look at BlizzCon, for instance, you pass by Twitch and you watch. But if you watch a sealed event and you didn't see the deck building portion, it kind of sucks because you want to see the deck building go into games. And I don't know, I feel like the organic traffic just gets less retention because you're missing the coolest part of the portion, the format. That might have something to do with it.
I mean, I get the organic side of it, but I don't know. The Hearthstone community is way bigger than, you know, the Hearthstone, you know, proper, just normal viewership on Twitch is way higher than that. So it was beyond sure. Just not getting the organic. It's, you know, yeah, of course, it's nice to get that extra 5-10,000 maybe from organics because of just some popular Hearthstone event that's going on. But, you know, ourselves as a community, we should be getting, again, 40-50,000, I think, if people knew about this tournament, if they thought it was like the thing to watch right now too, it's easy. Like, we've seen that in the past. And in fact, the first sealed tournament probably was close.
They have way better promotion, just as Lay said. I only knew because I'm like following Red Bull Esports on Twitter, and that's like the only reason why I knew that the event pretty much is.
Yeah.
So it's like and if that happens, like not on Liquid Hearth or so, you can see something, then you know, damn son, something is going wrong here when it comes down to marketing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed. And they spend so much time and, you know, effort. I know, like, Frodan, you know, does a lot to like plan that event or whatnot. So. Yeah, it's unfortunate they didn't get like crazy amounts. In the future, hopefully we'll see the promotion done well. It just shows you got to promote. You got to do every element of an event, from the actual organization of it, format of it, scheduling of it, as well as the marketing of it, which is probably the most important thing, actually.
But still got to say 15K is a great number.
It is. It's right? A good number.
Yeah, it could have been lower.
It could have been lower.
I mean, I guess you're used to BlizzCon, you know, level. I mean, you're hoping like for 40-50K type stuff, but
absolutely.
Truth is, like, when you're not watching an individual usually is a lot more appealing for most people who watch Twitch than watching like an event. And then you have events that don't get promoted or don't have like professional feel to them or not enough spam, and then suddenly it doesn't get traction. And again, like, I feel like you're underestimating really the format being not as interesting when you don't know what the fuck's in the deck. Like, how I can expect to watch a Malygos Druid deck in a tournament and be like, yeah, I know what's left in that deck after watching one game.
I know what you mean.
But in sealed, it's a really, really big like deal breaker not to be able to.
It's like watching a random deck almost. Yeah,
it's like watching a guy autofill, right? Like, if you don't know what's in it, it's like, okay, what am I watching really?
So you think
your decision making would be inaccurate? You can't predict to play because you don't know what's next. So
maybe if the tournament organizers had like deck tracker on the screen, right, with like a list of what's all in it.
Yeah, I would probably make it a lot more watchable. Like, stupidly enough, it's one of those small features that I think might make a difference.
No, that makes sense, make a huge difference. Yeah,
I wonder if tournaments will ever start doing that. Just like, why not? You know, have all that information available.
I like it.
I mean, you guys know the decks already, so yeah, like, why not? Yeah, absolutely.
But it makes the game more followable. Like, if you didn't watch it from start to finish, it's good to know what cards, you know, are remaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just some more information.
Then the cast doesn't have anything more to do. They don't have to memorize what's left.
What is left in his deck? Oh, wait, let's argue over this possible card that we didn't catch come out on turn two. Yeah, are there two copies? And 7 turns later, they finally settle it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to ATLC2 qualifiers, which Zalay actually has been casting this entire week. Actually, yesterday, I think you were casting with Amaz, right?
Yeah, cast with Amaz in purple, and
it's
been a bit of a rotation.
Yeah, cool. So how has the whole thing been going? I caught a little bit of it, didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it.
Right, it's pretty fun. It's like there are 4 weeks of qualifiers. We've done 3, and we have 1 week left. So it started with 32 players, and we're going to end up with 3 winners. So we've cut from 32 down to 8 in the last week, and the last week's different from the previous weeks. It's going to be just each day is an 8-man single elim event, and the winner of that is like a winner of the qualifier.
Right.
So like the first one's an actual 8-man. The second one only has 7 because the winner is doesn't play again, obviously. And then one person gets a bye. That's the person who finished second in the first one. Then in the third one, it's like a 6-man playing an 8-man bracket. 2 people get byes. It's the people who finished second and third in the second one, right? So that's the way that's going to work. And the competitors are, we got our world champion Pavels in there. Yep. My teammate Muzzy, Powder, Sidonia, Chinoise, AK Wonder, Yigu, and Torque.
Lots of good players.
These guys, They played like 20 matches to get here of basically Swiss.
Yeah.
Roughly.
It's so like it's the Death Lane got destroyed, though. Like, I mean, destroyed. Felt bad.
Did he?
Yeah.
What happened to him? I didn't even
I think he, yeah, dude, he got completely, he went, I think he didn't win like a single one week. Is that right?
Oh. I mean, it's a tough tournament. A lot of good players. That's going to happen to some of the good players. That's the nature of Hearthstone. Somebody's got to lose at the end of it. And yeah, it sucks to see just saying lose because he's a friend of mine, but it's happening to somebody.
Yeah.
Or almost everybody at the end of the thing. Really.
At some point it happens to everybody. Yeah.
On the meme side, though, Beers was there. Two Beers is in, right? Like the guy who actually ended up winning. I say meme side because he's the guy who got the arena
110 challenge. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think he's still in, right? He's like.
No, he's not in the top eight right now. He got cut from 16 to 8. In the most recent week, he got eliminated.
Oh, that's so.
But he made it pretty deep into the tournament.
That would have been pretty sweet to see Two Beers get through. Just a raw good player. You know, a raw good.
So I guess he lost week three. That sucks. No, yeah. I was rooting for him. too bad.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see how it plays out. And then those three qualifiers, for those of you that might not be keeping up with the ATLC, will form their own team when the actual championship is announced and, you know, just the details of that. So, yeah, I think the winners get something too, right? This tournament is like a tournament in itself.
Right. They're going to get, I guess, a full streamer set up, like everything you would need to.
So equipment and stuff. Cool. Okay. That's all. That's nice.
Even though you don't stream, it's cool.
Camera? Nah, come on.
Well, like, is it ponies set up or is it more like, you know, what, like Noxious? Well, Noxious up is actually decent too. So, but, okay, cool. Very, very good. So why don't we talk about some cards here? Lots of cards. This is always
the good stuff.
This is always fun. These guys are just like, just get the other crap over.
Talk about new expansion, man. Like, can we just, the only thing going on in Hearthstone. Like,
you know, but for you guys, you know, we gotta talk.
Dude, I didn't even see the first card that's coming now.
Okay, so
the first time.
Oh, the ooze. Okay, yeah. So I mean, we have a few that might be considered old, but we just haven't talked about it in on the show. We're not talking about every single one on the show, but I figured we'd talk about some of these. All right, the first two that we're gonna talk about, we're gonna go two at a time or just some kind of grouping. Is we've got the Toxic Sewer Ooze, so an upgrade to our, you know, just to our ooze. 3 mana, 4/3 body. It's battle cry, remove one durability from your opponent's weapon. So it's not quite like, you know, Swamp Ooze where you destroy the thing. You only just remove one. So more like the Corsair. What do you think about this?
I'd say generally it's lower power level than acidic swamp ooze. The higher mana cost means it's like less easy to fit it into turns where, like, you know, I want to destroy their weapon and do this other thing.
Yeah.
And also obviously it's destroying one charge instead of all of the charges. That said, that doesn't mean it's useless. There's going to be decks where maybe you want both, or maybe you just feel like a 3-drop fits your deck better than a 2-drop, or maybe you feel like a 4/3 is a better kind of body size for the metagame than a 3/2. So there's some ways it could maybe see play here and there, right? Like maybe in a Reno deck, you just want that extra weapon destruction effect.
When you're sick of that pirate aggressive warrior, you just throw it all in there.
I mean, the truth is, like, if there's ever such a thing as a pirate aggro meta deck, like this probably just destroys their momentum. Like you've got double ooze, and this has 3 possibilities of drawing removal by turn 3. Like we're talking about a very early, not Harrison Jones level. It's like super quick. And I think what's cool about the card, though, is it's actually more useful for arena players, right? Like, because there's not that much weapon hate in arena, right? Like, it's one of those cards that Bloodsail Corsair is just a terrible rare. Like, you just, why would you draft that over every other rare in the set, usually? Whereas this is a common. It's not taking a premium spot, and it's got decent stats. I don't know if Azure ever runs this over like an ooze. I don't think so.
Azure would sound good. Or like general for Warlock. Like I always feel Reno Warlock is like missing that 3-drop apart from like you have in Gang Boss, and then that's like it, or Earthen Ring Farcia. But having like another 3-drop just on curve, sometimes even against Shaman, if you just get one charge of the claw gone, it helps.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I think Reno Lock is like maybe where this would go. I don't see it seeing a lot of play in Constructed, but Reno Lock is one of the more likely homes.
Yeah.
All right, Reno Priest or Reno Mage that's coming up. Nice. Reno stuff coming up next.
That's true. All right, next card, 6 mana. This is an epic card, 4/4 body, fight promoter. It's kind of cool name. Battle cry, if you control a minion with 6 or more health, draw two cards. Man, when I see this card, I just think, okay, 7/7 with this card. This sounds pretty good. Under 10, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's tough to get that Battlecry effect to work.
It does. It's pretty hard.
It's got that classic sort of Bloodlust Winmore sort of feel to it, where, like, how often do you play a game of Hearthstone and, like, your minion with six or more health sticks around and then you lose? Like, it can happen, but a lot of times people clear your board.
I'm going to show you my friend Jade Idol.
we're going to get the Jade Idol.
The one mana 6-6. Or the Arcane Giant.
But again, when you have a one mana 6-6, maybe you're already winning. Arcane Giant's a good point. Maybe you can play this with Arcane Giant.
Yeah, Arcane Giant.
In the same deck, too. Right? Yeah, like, you could be literally in the same spell druid. Yeah, a one of, I think it's fine.
But Ari hasn't thought about what if you buff it yourself with, like, Hozen or so? Like, you make it a 6-6 in your hand, and then you, like, use it.
Wisp, you buff the Wisp
that's
with
true
Hondo,
too.
And you make it a 6-6. You drop draw two cards.
It's like unlikely. Like, Arcane Giant is probably the most possible thing. But even then, if you play an Arcane Giant, do you need it?
Yeah, but there is Priest, right? It has that new 3/4 that plus 3 health and powered shield. So, like, maybe there's some ways to make it. It's hard to get it to go off, but there's a pretty big upside if you do.
I guess Priest struggles for card draw too, right? That's one of their big drawbacks. So maybe they could.
I mean,
like, if they play more tempo based, they will suck at drawing. That's usually the trend. Is if you play control, your hand is full of stuff, and if you play tempo, you're just starved for cards to actually draw with.
Yeah,
that could be a good inclusion in Priest.
Yeah, maybe. I still find it pretty hard. I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of like it's an Ancient of Lore, but it has a huge condition.
What if you buff it? Like, that's my question. What if I buff this one to a 6/6? Does it draw?
It should.
It should. Totally.
Chat's saying that Ben Brown hinted that it works that way. So
the what?
That if you buff something.
I don't know what chat says.
If you buff something on the board, right? If you just buff something and then use this, it works. Is that what you're saying?
No. If you buff it while it's in your hand and it's, like, your only minion and you play it, Chad is saying.
So this counts as it. Oh, okay.
What? Okay, that's
seriously
playable, then.
That's.
I don't know if that's.
That's
true.
An Ancient of War, then, lore, but.
Dude, it's better
mana.
Than that.
Well,
six,
it's an Ancient of Lore for
six.
Six mana. That's crazy.
Well, you have to buff it. You have to play this card, and you have to play cards that buff it, and you have to get all of that to work.
But if you're playing a Grime Street deck, this thing's going to be buffed. I mean, come on, right? Like, if you build a deck that's going to be all about buffing your hand, there's going to be a lot of cards that buff your hand. So,
yeah, your hand is going to be
deck
like
any good?
Super buffed.
Yeah. I don't know.
If you can draw two cards for six mana and get a 6/6.
Yeah, it's an intriguing card. It's a little bit more intriguing that you can buff yourself in the accounts. That's interesting. That's kind of crazy. Okay. All right, let's do the next cards here. All right, what's the next ones here? We've got Hozen Healer, which Pony just mentioned, and then Burgly Bully. So we'll talk about Hozen Healer first. 4 mana, 2/6, Battlecry, restore a minion to full health. Pony, you want to talk about this card?
Yeah, I guess it's like, it's good dust, but
good
for
dust?
Arena, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That's coming. So for Arena, I see it like as a possible thing, or if you're like playing some crazy Faceless Shambler headlock with Arcane Giants, some buff heal out of nowhere for your Twilight Drake, why not? I mean, if you can heal it from 4/3 back to 9, not that bad. Yeah. And you can taunt it like really good with Argus, so great vanilla stats.
Okay. Noxious, you see anything? You see anything Noxious with this card?
I do. I mean, Felorc, Sylphine, and Injured Blade Master and Priest are playable, so this is just a way to...
Dude, Soul Priest
like,
this
the
thing,
3/7 becomes a 3/5, you trade away, it becomes a 3/1 or whatever, then you can make it a 3/7 again, and then suddenly you go from having no transition into your mid-game to just, well, good luck. You know, this is hell now. It's just one of those... Priest can keep minions alive very, very well. My question is, like, is a format 2/6 better in that deck than another 4-drop? Because I don't think that deck has any 4-drops it wants to play already. Like, Priest has a bunch of 4-drops. It's got a ton of them. But I don't think there's one besides Priest of the Feast that fits. And the question is, do you ever really play Hozen Healer on top of Priest of the Feast instead of Akenai, like in the tempo deck?
I like that kill combo that you mentioned, like with Soul Priest, and then yeah, just I mean, that's destroys, all I obliterate a
that's
minion
all
completely.
I see in this. Yeah, it's like
is that how that works?
Yeah,
it yeah, you can target an enemy minion and blow it up.
It kills any minion.
So you could embrace the shadow and kill something straight up, dude, like that.
Okay. Is that confirmed? Because I'm looking through it, I'm just trying to think
like
through
Reno.
The logic of it.
It's like Reno, the same thing.
So people have confirmed it because ancestral healing works that way,
works
too.
The same way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a restore health. So that's what I see. I see yet another removal, like full body removal for priests. And that's scary.
It's definitely better than the 5 and a 4/5 in terms of killing stuff with.
Yeah.
Right? Like the whatever its name is.
The alchemist, right?
Yeah,
the one that heals. Yeah, so you know, the 2/6 body is a concern just because it's too small. It can be removed, especially mirrors. It just can be easily removed. But in terms of the battle cry, that's extremely powerful for priest.
Am I healing a Ragnaros away can be like nice.
Yeah,
I mean, you have enough means like this, but still.
Or killing like a Twilight Drake, killing any 4-man. Now they have like ability to kill 4-attack minions easier, like Ragnaros. Malaga's.
Even just actually healing something, right? Like,
yeah,
we're talking
that too.
About
it has the
combo. It's like, sure,
yeah.
we can do the crazy combos, but the only thing that Priest has to massively heal an injured Blade Master is like circle of healing. Then oftentimes, it's just true. Have to use 2 mana every turn without getting any tempo just to keep it topped off. Hunting Healer says you get something on the board, plus you heal your dude back up. With 4 3-drops, actually 6 3-drops if they wanted with the new Arakoa. They could go like injured or Felwork Soulfiend and Arakoa play this on top.
Hard to kill maybe, it, right? Pretty hard to kill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Burgly Bully, next one. 5 mana, 4/6 body. It's an epic card. Whenever your opponent casts a spell, add a coin to your hand. Pretty interesting. Pony, like, what do you think, man?
I guess it's like Lothab. Was you can just put it in your deck once in almost every deck and just be happy about having it. I mean, you just pop it on turn 5 and you're like, okay, deal with it. If the enemy has no minions and he's not a weapon class, he's already like going to give you at least 1 coin, if not 2. And even if Shaman hexes it, it's a coin. So you can go for even better curve plays in the end. So I guess like one in every, like it Druid definitely, Warrior maybe, even in aggro decks. I mean, if you put that like in Zoo and you just pop it on turn 5, it's still freaking annoying. Needs to get it removed, gives you more coins, and you can swarm even harder.
Yeah, I mean, Rogue too. I mean, Rogue just loves coins. So, Zalai, what do you think?
I have to disagree with that. I look at this card and I see Spectral Knight, not Lothab. It's a 5 mana 4/6 that kind of punishes them for, you know, needing to play spells to deal with things instead of being, if they're on board, it's just kind of unimpressive, right? They can just deal with your 4/6.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the same body as Spectral Knight, but like Lothab really cuts off those options. You literally cannot play most of those cards.
Yeah.
With Burgly Bully, you can still play all those cards. The only punish is a coin. Like for instance, if Zoo gets a coin, a lot of times at that point in the game, it's hard for them to use that at 1 extra mana. It's not that big of a deal if they get it. Like, yeah, a mana is significant, but it's on like turn 6 at the soonest. A lot of times, Zoo can float a mana in those, float one or more mana in those turns because they're just, you know, they draw 1 drop, tap 1 drop, that they got nothing, right? So it's certainly not in every deck, and I think it's one of those cards that might be in no decks. It might be relevant here and there. It's kind of like for punishing a druid who's not on board, that kind of thing. But you kind of have to be playing a deck that uses coin pretty well, and you have to be playing against a specific kind of deck. Like this card is just never strong against Zoo. Right.
Yeah, definitely not.
But I think Zoo's getting shut out with the expansion. Well, not shut out completely,
well,
but it's getting hit pretty hard with, you know, Pine Size Potion shenanigans. It's like, and the AoEs are getting better. The Volcanic Potion's pretty good against Zoo in general. Like, I think a lot of the stuff that's coming out is just going to make Zoo not worse, because Zoo's always good, but like, it's getting a lot of retaliation from people in general. And I think that's intended on Blizzard's side, right? They just want to negate the whole, let's just give you more tempo when you get tempo, like keep snowballing out of control, which is why they have a lot of investments in your future, like Jade Golem or the Grime Street stuff. I think Burgly Bully is a sleeper card for the set.
I do too.
This is my sleeper card. Like, this is my sleeper card of the set because it just looks like nothing, but it's the most irritating effect in the universe because you have to, like, the amount of variables of what your opponent can do when it's up on the board after you've killed it with a spell, or if you've just traded into it, you've already wasted a lot of tempo. Unless you're Zoo, you've expended a ton of resources. And if you're Zoo, you use a PO on a small minion, you've given them a coin. That's just right there, really annoying because then they can coin flame strike, whatever the case may be. It's like one of those really pesky cards that doesn't seem good.
I agree with you a lot too. I think this card is probably going to be underrated, and I just think of the coin. I mean, right now our mindsets are so like on Shaman right now, and so much on even Zoo right now. But I think you're right, Noxious. I think a lot of the removal that's being added to the game will change the metagame. You know, we'll suppress those two decks specifically, and so if we have decks that will be more mid range tempo based. Say, let's just throw out a Hunter. Like, a Hunter is probably something that nobody thinks about with this card, right? Let's say a Hunter plays this on turn 5, then it gets a coin, and then maybe Call the Wild comes at 8 again. And then it's just huge. You know, that's kind of
right on 7, whatever.
Yeah.
It is pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's like a...
I like this a lot in Hunter, because Hunter does need a 5, and Hunter is looking for these sort of aggressive minions that... Yeah, this is like Hunter is looking for this card.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. I think that's a really good
point. It could be okay in Rogue, too. Rogue, you could probably get one. Oh, what was that, Pony?
Don't give the people ideas.
Don't give them ideas. Well,
I mean, Rogue's pretty good.
That's what this show's all about, man. It's giving people ideas.
Extra Tomb Pillager and Rogue. And the thing is, like, you know how coin is played in Rogue, the zero cost coin that they're adding? If that's played, then you want an extra, like, something to curve into that's going to give you back that investment. That's another one of those. Like, Tomb Pillager is. This is another one of those cards that could give you back the investment you put in card wise. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily as bad as it seems.
Yeah, it's definitely some interesting aspects to it. Okay, so we got a mage card. This is probably the only mage card we have this week. It's a 6-mana 5/5 Cabal Crystal Runner. It's a rare card. Costs 2 less for each secret you've played this game. So, sounds awfully familiar to a Shaman card that we have, except for it doesn't have a taunt. It doesn't have a taunt on it, but it does, and it does require you to actually play cards that to make this thing effective, or to run cards to make this effective. So, you know, I think we're looking at a 0/5/5 card here, probably, in a Secret Mage, but I don't know. What do you guys think about just Secret Mage generally, Zalay?
Yeah, it might be good. They're definitely printing a lot of cards to push the archetype. I hate when they push archetypes like this, like sort of pre-built decks. But most, like, I don't want to be negative, but I feel like secrets are just like one of the worst parts of Hearthstone because of the way they're designed. They make these secret cards that are just so bad you never want to play them on your own, and then they make these secret support cards that are just completely broken, overpowered when everything's working. And so what you get is these super high variance games where either you draw your secrets and it's like a horrible draw and you never win, or you draw everything perfect and it's like super overpowered and you never lose, and it feels like there's less in the way of like balanced gameplay.
Okay, that's interesting.
I wish the secrets were stronger and the support cards like this were weaker, and it was just like a little bit more consistent.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh,
that's okay. What I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
The secret cards are too weak and the support cards are too strong.
I'd agree with that, yeah. I mean, it's just like you're forced to play shitty secrets just so you can get these cool cards out. Kind of like, I don't know, secret, I guess the Mysterious Challenger to some extent too. Pony, what do you think, man?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like Zalay's attempt to that. It's like you might have a great idea with those cards, but they're like so easy delivered for the mass, like, okay, I'm going to build a secret deck now because, well, it's super convenient. And it is not like that you actually have to sit down and like construct something amazing with maybe that little twist that you found out. Mm-hmm. So it's like easy delivered decks. But then again, for the broad mass of Hearthstone players, that's something cool. I mean, as you say, this high variety of games where you just get completely stomped or you lose. Well, if you only play 3 to 5 games a day or only in your break and you play like a casino secret Cabal Crystal Runner mage, that's exactly the game people want. You know, they're just going to slam a 5-minute game and go bongos crazy on secrets, and then they go back to work and they smile the rest of the day.
Well, as long as that deck's not super strong, though. Like, that's
exactly.
Not, you know, like played at the highest
level. I don't think it will be.
Oh, you mean like Secret Hunter when it actually works?
Yeah, when
Secret
it works,
Hunter's in a good place balance wise, right? I think they did well there.
Yeah,
I like that. I'm sad it doesn't work with Lock and Load, but you know that's just Lock and Load being Lock and Load. If Lock and Load were one
day,
mana, it would like that might be a deck, but at 2 mana, it's just like 1 mana cost too high to be actually a deck archetype. Crystal Runner is interesting to me because I don't like the design of it, as in like I really, 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 really hate cost reduction effects. Like I loathe them with a passion, but. On the flip side, Secret Mage isn't exactly notorious for, you know, being amazing. But when Cabal Lackey and this come together to make like the turn one Suddenly you already have a 4-mana, because the thing is, you have to look at it as like, you know how Arcane Giant, every single spell you play is an innervate. Well, every single secret you play in this deck is like a double innervate. So it costs you really like it gives you one free mana when you play a secret. So it makes,
yeah, that's true.
That's the way to look at it. And
if you think about it, like, sure, you could go 1-mana 2/1, put a free secret in play, then turn 2, you make a 2/3 and deal 3 damage to their guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing
and
is,
then this guy's coming out for cheap. It's scary.
Kieran Tor Mage is good too when you have Cabal Aki. Like, Kieran Tor Mage is bad, true. But when you have the extra two, like the one drops to do the same thing, suddenly the density of secrets and minions that reduce their cost is big enough that maybe we reach critical mass where they curve so naturally into like a board that's unanswerable before turn 5 that you're just like, well, okay, I guess I'm fucked. Because like, you're at 5 health, top deck a fireball, and you're dead.
Tempo Mage will actually be Tempo Mage. Like, you know, not this kind of weird pseudo combo tempo thing that it is right now. Like, we'll actually see like minions forcing tempo like heavily or doing most of the damage, I think, in the near future. I think what's interesting about this card too is that it could make Effigy decent too. Like, Effigy, I feel like, is a card that's like a secret that's hard to make work, and you know, maybe it's going to make Effigy playable to some extent, because like, how are you going to play a ton of secrets right now in Mage? It's like,
yeah, you can't, even with Kieran.
It's hard.
Yeah, we're missing duplicate. Know? It was so beautiful.
Duplicate. Oh, okay, yeah, duplicate.
It was always a secret you could kind of play. That's, you could get good value from a 2-drop, 3-drops, 4-drops. But Effigy is like, on a 2-drop, okay. On a 3-drop,
right.
On a 4-drop, well, yeah, okay, good. But somehow, like, duplicate was just way cooler because of the battle cry stuff that you just get back.
Yeah, even getting like 2 mana worms was like not
but
terrible.
I thought it was bad. I thought duplicate was terrible if you didn't have Echo of Medivh in your deck too. Like, every time I played duplicate, it's not true because you could play it in Tempo Mage, but for the most part, whenever I played duplicate, I'm like, this deck would be so much cooler with Echo of Medivh. So
what if you got it for free though? Like, let's say you got duplicate for free though, and
do I want 2 Cabal Lackeys?
I don't know. Kieran Tor Mage is better. That's true.
But the whole point about like the Tempo Mage is that what scares me is like the best answer to this 5/5. Like, if you ever have, you need an AoE that does it, is like Brawl or Dragonfire Potion or Fellfire Pot, which comes like turn 5 or 6. There is no clear removal for this, like in a 1 card before later. And if they happen to have a counterspell, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Like, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, the counterspell definitely still has a place for sure. All right, we're going to start talking about some Jade cards. So the Jade Lotus cards came out, and we're going to talk about the big one, which is the Jade Golem, but also the Rogue. Okay, so most of these cards, for those of you that haven't been keeping up with Hearthstone or whatnot, they all have something to do with summoning a Jade Golem. So I'm in this first batch, I'm going to show you what the Jade Golem does. And right now you see it just like just spam it, like continually incrementing up. And that's how that works. Basically, every time you summon a Jade Golem, the next one will be +1/+1 Jade Golem. So the first one's 1/1, next one's 2/2, next one's 3/3, next one's 4/4, just so the folks understand it as we're talking about these cards. So these are the Rogue cards. So the first one is a spell, Jade Shuriken. It's a 2-mana common, deal 2 damage, combo, summon a Jade Golem. So pretty good, I think, the value, at least, if you can combo it.
I think you can't really evaluate Jade Golem cards individually. I think either you throw all of them in a deck or none of them.
Yeah,
like, sure. The Jade Golem mechanic is really not powerful if you only have a couple of them in your deck. And the more you have, the more powerful they get.
Right.
So it's like, once we know what all of the Jade Golem cards are, we find the optimal shell to make a Jade Golem deck where we have everything that says Jade Golem in that deck. And then we see how good that is. But like, I can't just look at Jade Shuriken and say, you know, it's garbage unless Jade Golem deck is good, is the way I see it. And there probably is a good Jade Golem deck.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, some kind of tempo.
Like, it's kind of fine even. Like, worst case scenario, you just summon a 1/1 and deal 2 damage if you combo it. That's not all too bad. But if you, like, as you say, if you see the upside already having like 3-4 Jade Golem stuff played, and then you deal 2 damage and you summon a 4/4, or you just spell damage that thing with an Azure Drake on turn 7 and just, like, you know,
it's crazy.
3 damage something away.
It's crazy.
Like a Flame Tank Totem, Karcher Totem, whatever, and suddenly summon like a 4/4, 5/5. But as you say, like we need to in the end know all the Jade Golem cards to see how hardcore that can snowball into Oblivion.
But just like just what you just said there though, Pony, worst case it's a 1/1 with 2 damage. That's worst case. Like, and
it's like a better on the hunt for ball. Yeah, I mean,
imagine playing this late.
Do you think this one's good outside of a Jade Golem deck? It's that good.
Oh, no,
I think
no.
it's good there.
Oh, outside.
I think
of
it's actually. I think it's playable there.
It's in like an arena, it would be fine. I think if they
find removal turn two. Just
that's
kill
good
something.
In arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It might see playing constructed outside of a Jade.
I actually think it's just like you know how you eviscerate that Knife Juggler. Well, fuck it, just Jade Shuriken it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it happens. I'm exaggerating a bit in terms of like, is this worth a card slot and not and whatnot? But I don't see why an extra damage dealing tool that deals 2, which is a sweet spot for removing early game minions when you're trying to mitigate aggro as rogue. Like you have backstab, you have SI, yes. But sometimes you eviscerate 2 drops. If you slap that on top, you've covered your early game. Like that aggro is not touching you. It's just not coming anywhere close.
I mean, this
you're
card
doubling up or tripling up on 2 damage sources.
This card, in probably a lot of instances, is basically SI agent for 2 mana.
In right. Jade Golem decks, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean...
But the thing is, like, this is a card you have to combo to get a minion. SI is like a 3-3 with a potential upside, which is, like, there's a huge difference there. You can't seize tempo with Jade Shuriken. You can only recover it, if that makes sense.
Right, you can't just proactively make a Jade Golem that easily. Like, you can just...
You have
just
to do
play
something
SI on
first.
3.
Yeah, you do have to do something first. Okay, let's look at the Jade Swarmer here, which is a 2-mana 1/1 stealth. It's a common card. Death Rattle, summon a Jade Golem. Like this card seems a lot worse to me. Like, I don't know. Do you guys see something with stealth here that might be useful?
Oh, it's actually amazing. I find it really funny. Well, the good thing is that it's stealth. I know 1 HP doesn't survive a lot, but you could Raptor it. You can do the off it.
You can
play it on turn 2, on turn 3, Raptor
true.
It.
I didn't think about
the important part is it's stealth. So you can actually, like, you have it on the board, then you play Shuriken, and then you kill it.
It's our shade. It's our shade.
You can like force the point where it dies, so it summons like a bigger Jade Golem. Yeah. It's like kind of where I find it interesting.
If it were a 1/2, I'd be like, "Dog, you're so right." But a 1/1, I'm like, Maelstrom Portal.
I mean, problem.
But I mean, it's the problem of every like. This is the reason Patient Assassin is not played, even though it's got you know pretty big potential upside, even against Totem Golem. But no one plays it.
Well, it's kind of. I mean, if you compare it to Shuriken here. It's like the difference is like something sits on the board and then you get to choose when to kill it versus, you know, you get to play it whenever you want. And you just have to play something before it. You know, I think the Jade Shuriken is just a little stronger there from the situational part, mostly because of there's so much removal that for 1 man or 1 health minions too. It's interesting though. It's definitely a different way of accomplishing.
I play
the
on
same
turn
thing.
5 with the Raptor.
Yeah, the Raptor is the one part that is kind of cool.
That's the only part that actually makes it interesting.
I mean, you could play. I don't know about a Nazoth deck. That's the thing is, I think there's a reason to play Journey Below in like just a Jade Golem deck.
Yeah,
just Jade Golem deck because you could pick this up or you could pick the Jade Spirit. I think or I don't know if it's a Death Rattle. I forget.
Too. Holy crap!
Like there's Team Pillager. There's Aya Blackpaw, which you can pick up out of Journey Below too.
That card. We're gonna talk about that card soon too. That's a good one too. Okay, I'm just going to keep the Jade Golem up while we're talking about all these other cards.
Sure,
all right, so we've got the Druid. We've got the Okay, let's talk about these two Druid cards first, and then we'll talk. We'll have Aya right afterwards because Aya I think has a very obvious connection with Druid too. Okay, so the first one, Jade Idol. This is the one like I feel like everybody was talking about either yesterday or the day before. It's a 1-mana. Common card, choose one, summon a Jade Golem, or shuffle 3 copies of this card into your deck. So, you know, it's basically a Jade version of the Raven Idol. What do you guys think of this? So, worst case, summon a 1/1, right?
It makes a mill strategy just completely unable to win.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that makes me kind of sad. Like, I like fatigue being relevant. It's like one of my favorite things about Hearthstone. I don't want every game to go to fatigue, but I think the relevance of fatigue is pretty cool. And I think this just destroys fatigue decks, which is kind of sad. But maybe it won't see play, or maybe it won't see enough play for that to really matter.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe it's not going to be played, though, unfortunately. What do you guys think?
I just want to play it together with the auctioneer. Then just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep drawing. Like, you get shuffling more copies, and then you keep playing Jade Golems whenever you feel like it, and then you keep playing more copies. You keep playing Jade Golem. The thing is, like, if you're at zero cards left in your deck, you can play Auctioneer Jade Idol and not die. Like, that's just...
Exactly, and then the fun begins.
I mean, I think you draw into Fatigue first, though, right? The first card, like, because you would play it, and then it would draw, and then the cards would be shuffled. So you'd probably have to, like, get another Jade Idol in your hand before you do that. Because I don't think it shuffles after the draw. It just shuffles before the draw. It shuffles after... So you probably just draw into 15.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have probably... Maybe you seed it first, and then the second one is where you kind of go nuts on it. But yeah. Can you imagine if there was a minion that was based off of how many cards you have like left in your deck or whatever? If it was designed that way? God, this card would be just ridiculous.
That's actually a pretty cool concept.
This would break it, or
whatever.
This would totally break it, though.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so like, I mean, to your point, Zilli, I think totally kills that. And when we're talking about like what Pony's talking about, you're just talking about filling the board with, you know, Karakazam all the way up to 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah, right? That's basically it.
Shit, man.
It's kind of like this Mill Warrior deck that people were playing. You know, you play Illusionist and then you go for the Oracles, and in the end, you do the same just with Jade Idol and an Auctioneer. More or less. And then the upside is you don't mill, you just go completely bongos crazy and make 1 bazillion Jade Golems.
Yeah, throw down some Arcane Giants too on top of that too. You know, it's like,
why not?
right?
At that point.
For streaming, it's great.
I can imagine like a Wilds deck with Gazlow in this crap. Like, that must be hilarious. Like a Gazlow Jade Idol deck.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a bit of fun in Wild with that garbage. I'm sure it's going to be great fun.
Yeah. And there's going to be more of these cards too. So it's kind of crazy that we're just talking about one or just a few of these. But
Jade Idol is really scary to me. Like, the more I look at this, I think this card in any other card game is automatically banned. Like, it just, the moment it gets printed, people just ban it. Because the reason it's so scary, for those who may not understand, because I don't think we actually said it out loud, but it either summons a Jade Golem or you shuffle 3 copies of it into your deck. For those who are listening, the fact that you can play a Jade Idol and shuffle 3 more of them into your deck means the next one you pick up also can shuffle 3 more. So you have an infinite amount you can create. And that's like a single card. One card slot in your deck is a self-contained infinite engine. Like, that is really rare in card games.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think I've ever seen it. A single slot in your deck that is an infinitely recurring combo. Like, that is really mind-blowing, because suddenly you end up in a situation where if any deck relied on Fatigue as a win condition...
It's like Zilli was saying, basically, yeah.
You basically shut it out completely. Like, there's no way that deck has a chance of winning. And the worst part is that the Jade Golems... are also substantial. I mean, even as a one card slot in like grindy games, if you ever pick up like the Jade Idol and you just shove it into your deck, and then you pick it up later and you just create a Jade Golem, then another one, then another, the other one just shuffles 3 more copies. If you know the game's going to be a stalemate for a while, at some point your Jade Golems are just infinitely larger than your opponent can even answer.
As it sounds, but Fenrir Jade Idol.
Yeah. Fenrir Jade Idol.
That's like where just do that late game and go crazy.
Yeah, after you have like a bunch of them in your hand, right? Oh my gosh, that'd be insane. All right, so anyways, moving on. We spent like a good 5-10
Jade Blossom. This is a card that I like.
Yeah, Jade Blossom. 3 mana. It's a common card. And summon a Jade Golem and gain an empty mana crystal. So there's a ramp aspect to this one. Sounds good to me, man. Like, it's like
Between Wild Growth and Mire Keeper, right? Exactly. Like, not just in mana costs, but like Wild Growth is you just get the mana crystal. Mire Keeper, you're getting a 3/3 and a mana crystal. This one, you're getting a 1/1, maybe much better than that with a mana crystal. This is actually like an interesting card potentially outside of Jade Golem decks. Like, obviously, if you're playing a Jade Golem deck, it's just the easiest 2 of in your life. Yeah. You just play it like 7 of them or something. Yeah. But outside of Jade Golem decks, like maybe Ramp Druid becomes more of a thing with this, right? Like, we already have these kinds of Ramp Druids, and maybe it's interested in this card. It's another spell for your Arcane Giant. It kind of curves into Nourish or Azure Drake. You can go Coin Wild Growth into Jade Blossom into 5 drop, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the 3 mana slot is sort of an awkward one in Druid decks these days. Like, a lot of times you're trying to Wild Growth into a 4 drop, and if you have a Coin Wild Growth hand, you look at your turn 3 and you're like, well, Unless he plays Totem Golem on 2 for me to Feral Rage into, I just don't have a clean turn 3 play. And the Jade Blossom kind of fills that niche. So even though I think it's like not super high powered, it may fill a gap in the curve.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Druid would take any kind of ramp, like first 4 turns, so or 5 turns.
And I mentioned the whole, you know, one of Jane Idols in a deck that is a self-sustained win condition, assuming the game goes long. It's a very narrow case where it'll be relevant, but if you play double Jade Blossom, like, and one Idol, that might actually just push it over the top. In a ramp Druid deck, you could play one Jade Idol, 2 Blossoms, and you're good to go. Like, that might actually speed up the process a bit.
It could be enough, yeah.
Because if you play it for ramp, you might as well slap on.
You're getting the ramp, and you're getting that extra minion that your opponent has to remove or spend mana to remove, and that just helps you gain that momentum when you're ramping up, or once you reach that moment, you can play the big minions.
That's just like that turn 3, as the lay says. It's like the one spot you kind of want to fill. It's always like, usually you go like Raven Idol, Work Rose, or something with Living Roots or Hearable.
Yeah, totally.
And now you can just go for Jade Blossom, and then you actually end up at 5 mana, where you then want to Nourish or Azure Drake, or play the Burgle.
Burly Burgle, right. Dude.
Yeah, it's just like you're suddenly at 5 mana where you want to be. So Jade Blossom is like number one okay card. It's not too good, it's not too bad, and it's just a nice one, balanced one.
Yeah. So I'm just going to move this Jade Blossom card over here, and then let's talk about Ayat Blackpaw right here. So first legendary card we're talking about today. It's a 6/6 drop. It's another panda. I like my pandas, as folks know from last week or the week before. It's a 5/3 body, battle cry and death rattle, summon a Jade Golem. So, man, I envision 3/3, 4/4s or 5/5s probably coming from both the Death Rattle and the Battle Cry. And if you add that together, the value of this card is insane. And that's not even taking into account late game stuff. So the Battle Cry is
huge. And you can journey below her, right?
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can get lucky and find her through Journey Below.
Oh my god, it's crazy. So it's a tri-card too, by the way, guys.
Shadowcaster! No, I'm fucking with you. Shadowcaster.
What classes can play it?
Shaman, Druid,
Rogue and Druid.
Rogue, yeah.
This is the Jade Lotus. So Druid can play this, so they have like 3/6 drops that summon Jade Golems.
I mean, this is insane, right?
I don't think it's insane on its own. Like, you really need the support of the early game cards. Like, if Rogue plays this and they haven't played the Jade Harvester, whatever the name of that thing is, and they haven't played and been able to combo the Jade Shuriken, then this is just what is this? Like a 6/4? Like, that is
bad. Then you're gonna go like prep Shuriken, Aya, and on we go. Worst case.
Then you get like a 1/1, a 2/2, I don't think it's like a terrible card. I think it's great in those all in Jade Golem decks, but I don't know if Rogue is able to use it right now. Like, based on what we've seen, it just doesn't
seem... I don't know about Rogue, but how about Druid? I mean, it feels like a Menagerie Warden on a crack kind of thing. Like, you know, it's not even that situational. Like, you don't have to have a minion on the board. You just get minions every time you battle cry and die. So, I think Aya Paul's going to die before the Jade, or not going to die before the Jade Golem it creates dies. That's for sure. It's going to be pretty rough having to deal with two of them. That's an incredible tempo play, man.
Yeah, I just like the part that like, let's say you Lightning Storm it and it just pops out another 4/4 maybe, or 5/5. So it's like you really have to have a lot. And you have to deal with more annoying things.
Well, you have to hex this thing just so at least the second one doesn't come out, or I would think. I don't know. You have to consider
it. Yeah, it's a great hex target.
Yeah, you have to consider it, that's for sure. Yeah, Vlade, what do you think, man?
If I'm playing a Jade Golem deck, I'm going to slam everything that says Jade Golem in it. Like, that's the way the mechanic works.
That's how you start, right? Just start with that.
Well, I think, and I might end with that, too. Like, unless they show me something really bad that says Jade Golem on it, I think literally everything that says Jade Golem is going in the deck.
Well, C'Thun was like a bit different, right? Like, there might be a...
C'Thun was a very different mechanic. C'Thun did not... Like, buff this itself, one is, like, the more you play, the better it gets. With C'Thun, you want just enough to get to 10 so that your Twin Imps and your whatever your 10-mana thing for the class is works. This is a mechanic where the more you have, the better they all get, and so I'm just going to slam all of them in there, and it's probably correct. It's kind of, like, the C'Thun deck building is a lot trickier to do than the Jade Golem deck building.
Yeah, you've got a lot of stuff you dismiss, like the 2-mana 1/4 that has Dawn. But, like, do you envision a world in which Blizzard just adds cards that read, give your Jade Golem blah, blah, blah for the rest of the game. You know, like instead of plus one, like they have, I don't care which ability, like taunt or whatever.
Oh, they have like special abilities or something?
Well, yeah, like you would give.
Well, you say that now, but like it would be interesting because if it's an age rod that does that, then of course it's less, you know, insane. I mean, that's the point where you drop this guy and then it's like, oh, if he ever plays one more golem, I am fucked. Like if we get to that point.
All the removal that they're adding to the game are starting to make sense now to me because I just don't see how this isn't good.
That's why devolve is a thing.
I really don't see how Jade Golem decks are not going to be good. And the one thing, if they are going to end up being good, I'm hoping I'm wrong, but if they are going to end up good, I don't love this. This design because of how easy it is. It's kind of like Zalae. Just put everything that has Jade Golem on it, and you've got a deck that's probably power level pretty decent. Worst case,
it's a deck for the masses. Like everyone can build it. Everyone
super.
It's so much slower than the Grime Street deck in terms of ramping. I think. There's more Grime Street stuff than there is Jade Golem stuff, and I think they're like this card is. You know how they added the two mechanics side to side? Mm-hmm. They're trying to incentivize a different pacing. Like the Grime Street start off.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you play a one mana spell, then you have a 2/2, then you have like a 5/5 already, like by turn 4, and then you just keep going like this. And then the Cabal over there are doing funky stuff with their spells, and they're all trying to clean up the board every time and get to their big win conditions with their Reno decks. So you punch them hard, but they recover. And I don't know if the Jade Golem approach is better than the Grime Street. It certainly seems more consistent because you don't have to have a specific hand texture at any point. But you also have to, you need to have like enough card draw to be able to curve your Jade Golems. Because if you start your Jade Golem on turn 3, you've played nothing. Like you've had jack shit and you're like, you're making a 1/1 on turn 3 and the opponent is just tearing you apart already in this game.
Sure.
Hearthstone.
Yeah, card draw is definitely the biggest challenge. So thankfully, Warlocks can't do this. That'd be crazy. All right, so moving on from the Jade cards, we've got the Priest cards. Yeah, we got some more Priest cards here. Raza the Chained was a legend card. 5 mana, 5/5 body. We'll get to the second one here in a second. Battlecry, if your deck has no duplicates, so it's got to be Reno deck style, your hero power costs 0 this game.
Wow.
So...
yeah,
it's
neat.
It's
it's neat.
Is that sarcastic and neat, or is that actually a real?
Yeah, that's a real neat. I mean, I don't even play Priest a lot, but even I see the upside of that, especially because it's like a freaking 5 drop, and Priest had Vol'jin on 5. That was like the thing.
It's
you
not
kind
really
of
a 5. It's like situational.
Yeah,
right? This is like you can consistently play this on 5 every time. You don't need a specific board state.
The rest of the game too. It's
also unlike Reno. This doesn't have to be in a Reno deck. If you're playing like a deck that's like sometimes activates the Reno clause, like you can have some duplicates, and just sometimes it's a 5 mana 5/5, and it's not that bad. Like it's worse than Pit Fighter, which people don't play. But you know, if you ever activate the Battlecry, it's like so crazy. It's so crazy.
So Cycle Priest, where you just drop the no cards and then you go auction your Beardo and you just embrace the shadows, mind blast, hit face.
Yeah, that's not... No, seriously. Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
I'm memeing, but it's like... I don't think I don't think that specific example is like realistic because it's just easier to do with Valid, mind blast. I mean, it's just a lot simpler. But
you can do it on top of that too. I mean, if you get an
Would
Emperor,
you play that in Reno? You play Valiant in Reno, or out of Reno?
It's tough because you're losing like a Flash Heal. You're losing a Mind Blast.
You could cut the Dark Shire Alchemist for that stuff and like those mid rangey combo priests, which I'm not a huge fan of.
I don't know. I don't know if there's enough burn without
like,
having double.
Because like read this card as Battle Cry. Like at the beginning of your turn, put an Innervate into your hand. Like that is what it is. Because Priest is always trying to heal something anyway. Like, that is a free innervate for the rest of the game for Priest. They're always needing to top off something, but they can't. They're always needing to top themselves off, but they can't. They just can't. That's the problem with their hero power. It just doesn't.
That's true. One question I want to pose to you guys is that, the Inspire decks, right, the Inspire cards have always been undervalued, just garbage, except for maybe Thunderbluff now. But if you... can hero power for 0, do any of the Inspire cards actually become intriguing to you?
Are we talking about the Coda Rider turn 6 combo?
Yes.
All of them are too good if you can hero power for 0. The thing is, a lot of times it's not active, right?
Everything.
So, All of the Inspire cards are just insanely broken if you have Raza active, for sure. Yeah. Like, just, I mean, maybe not Tournament Medic or something, but like, but Nexus Champion, Sarada, even whatever that Kodo thing is that makes 3/5, if you're hero powering for 0, that card is great. Really good.
Yeah. I was running it in the Priest for a while, trying out like the shenanigans, but it's just not.
Even with Confessor Piotrus, dude.
Yeah.
We should mention the silly infinite combos with Raza. If you can ever get, I think it's called Kuldara Drake, the 6-mana 6/6 yeah. mage card, if you like Thoughtsteal that, or if you discover it off your 3-mana 2/2.
Yeah,
if you just get Kuldara Drake, you can do infinite hero powers, and then you do anything to turn your hero power into damage, whether that's Alcanai or Embrace the Shadow or Finley or Infinite. Shadow form, boom, infinite damage. Yeah, it's like the Antonitis thing.
It's super hard to get Kuldara Drake, though. I don't think anybody will play Kuldara Drake against the Priest.
But it's a good meme deck.
It is a good meme deck. The format at 3/3 that gives you like a Mage, Warlock, a Priest.
But you can do Commander. Commander lets you do it twice. And you can Paltrus twice, you know, or Kodo twice.
Paltrus twice, that's for sure. My question was, by the way, for Raza, like, if you play her first before Justicar, I haven't looked at the data.
Oh, I think they showed that, right? Like, I think it's still 0, even. Like,
I didn't see it.
Because it says for the game, like...
Yeah, for the game.
Yeah, period. All of your hero power, whatever you change your hero power to, it costs 0.
So even if you go for Shadow...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You shadow form and everything.
So like with Shadow form, you go hero power, hero power. It costs 0 every time.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Well, I know because like some of the other cards that make your hero power 0 works that way. So this definitely works that way.
Just a quick deck building tip. When you're playing with Raza, just start by searching Inspire, and then after that search Hero Power. And just, you don't want all of those cards, but you want to think about all of those cards, because all of those cards have positive interactions with this. So just search Inspire, search Hero Power, see what you can do.
That's what I love about this card the most, is because I've always been like probably the only person that said that the Inspired cards were actually intriguing cards. It's just, it was hard to make them, you know, playable because of, you know, the balance between the power you get from Inspire, you know, mixed with the you know, having the hero power itself, right? So if you make it 0, I think people will start to understand the power of these Inspire cards.
And how broken they really are, because they are, like, if they're good, they're too good. And
yeah, because, like, Fenshin Coach...
It's fine to have a Legendary that enables that. Like, we kind of needed... I almost wonder if Blizzard isn't just trying to give us some time in the sun for those Inspired cards, because they were like, man, we released TGT and it did nothing besides Justicar, True Heart, and everyone forgot about them. It's like, okay, let's give them a non-Thunderbolt Valiant Inspired card that works. Agreed. And they just slapped Raz and were like, fuck it, Priest, have at it, just enjoy your time in the sun with those Nexus champs. And the Kodo Rider is especially interesting for me, but
Kodo Rider I think is going to be probably the most common use of it. But Paltrus is going to be a lot of fun too. I think Paltrus could end up being the most powerful thing too. But you know, there was Fencing Coach around for a long time. Like, Fencing Coach has been around forever. It's just Fencing Coach is just too terrible as a
3-mana 2/2 is not 5. No.
It was
3/3. It's 1 time versus infinite.
If it was 3/3 or even like power level, some of these 3-drops, like a 3/4, people would have tried it, and I think you would have seen Inspire actually be
at 3/4. It's overpowered.
At 3/4, it's broken and auto play.
At 3/3, it might be overpowered.
Yeah. So that's why it's like, it was really close. Like, some of these Inspire cards were really close to be unlocked. And I think you're right. Noxious, you have the point there. Just let them have some time in the sun. Okay, here's the 2-drop. The 2-drop, or at least a 2-drop that people have been hoping for, or some type of 2-drop for a Priest that was useful. Mana Geode. It's a epic card, 2/3. Whenever this minion is healed, summon a 2/2 crystal. So, you know, it's still pretty situational. It's not something that's just like a no-brainer that this thing is broken as hell, you know, necessarily. You still have to do some things even just to be able to heal this thing, but it is a 2-drop that the Priest can powered shield. They can, you know, definitely keep alive and potentially generate some more value with the 2/2. Noxious, you play plenty of Priest. What do you think, man?
The most overrated card in the set.
Thank you, Noxious. I love you, buddy.
I have no words other than this is like the you know how we talked about Priest needs a 2-drop, and they gave us a 2-drop that works with Priest. And it's like, do you play Light Warden? No, okay, get out. Like, the only problem with this card the only thing that I could see make this card work is like, oh, you have the Arakoa, cool, you're curving. But my problem is if Priest is really, really, really good and everybody's playing Mana Geo, well, guess who's playing Shadow Ward Pain? Yeah, Priest. So this card just auto kills itself. Like, if the metagame ever becomes good enough to where Priest is dominant, this card is shit. Like, it's good and shit at the same time, so it gets cut out.
Well, I don't.
And it does nothing.
I don't mind it being good against itself. That part of it doesn't bother me at all. Actually,
okay, Shadow Pain never makes this card shit. That's just not an issue. Like, okay, exactly. They use my 2-mana card to answer my 2-mana card. It's break even. That's
right.
Fine.
It's the class. It's the mirror match though that ends up being like in this weird situation where you don't get an initiative on this card. You trade your minion for a minion, and your only hope of making that card good was the Dark Arakoa. Like, if you're playing this in a typical Priest deck that isn't tempo based, I think you're doing it wrong. I'm not thinking this straight, but the deck I envision this in. I should probably build like a rudimentary deck list, but I envision something like double Arcane Anomaly, double Young Priestess, double Northshire Cleric, the Flame Jugglers, and then you play the Dark Arakoa, Soul Fiend, and you just try to get the tempo ball rolling, and then you get the high health count, play Fight Promoter, draw a bunch of cards, replenish, and try again. But I don't see this card fitting in any existing Priest decks. Like, it's not going to be in Control Priest. It's not going to be Dragon Priest, I don't think. And the only deck it fits in is one that is like already not strong enough on two that I don't think this makes it that much better. Like, it really needs the support of all the good one drops that you can find, and there's like what, 6 or 8 of them that you can play in Priest. It's just almost not enough to make a Zoo Priest a thing.
Well, you can play like Patron style, right? You don't have to use it on two. You can just go like, okay, let's do the Pyromancer thing and just YOLO out a bunch of 2/1 geodes in the end, which doesn't sound like all too good.
Shaman. Portal and Lightning Storm,
or even Holy Nova, man. Like, that's it. Just Holy Nova.
It's kind of a bummer.
Well, I mean, a lot of people do try to talk about this in Patron, but this is much weaker than Patron. Like, if it said whenever any minion is healed, it summons 2/2. I mean, it would be crazy, arguably too powerful if it wasn't for Shaman. But the fact is, it's only this minion that heals, and it's like, okay, if it's only this minion, then I'm literally looking at, okay, we can just get one. So Power Word Shield, maybe on turn 3, remove something and then heal it up again. And then all of a sudden it makes that hero power worth something, you know, like worth something good there. But outside of that, in the Arakoa example you keep bringing up, Noxious, it's...
I think Arakoa is the wrong name, right?
That's not Arakoa. It's
the Valtellan Priest.
Yeah, it's the 3/4 that gives 3, right? The Battle Cry, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, just have to play it on turn 5 then, and just, but then it's not a 2-drop anymore.
Yeah.
Turn 5.
Yeah.
It could be a thing.
It could.
It could make it work.
It could, but it's not super powerful, I think, to your point. And the priest, generally speaking, the priest that everybody's talking about, I mean, I don't think... The one thing I haven't been impressed with the priest is just that there's no new archetypes that we're seeing. It's just basically, okay, Dragon Priest is going to be strong. Maybe the combo will make itself back, but
I think Reno Priest is a pretty new thing. I mean,
Reno Priest is what they're trying to push.
Right, I guess Reno Priest, they're trying to push. I just don't see what Reno Priest is yet, but the others, if it's not Reno Priest, everything else that I can kind of see happening, it's already archetypes that people have been trying for a while now. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe it is the Reno Priest that's going to be new and exciting.
I can tell you what Reno Priest is. It's Raza and 29 cards. And 29. Boy, you really want that Raza. Reno Priest is a bad deck. It's really bad. Like, the Priest cards are all about synergy with each other. And when they're all one-ofs, you're not getting that synergy with each other very often. But this card, Raza, is so crazy.
Well, it opens
it is
up
absurdly
more
strong.
It just opens up all the Inspire cards, like we said. So it opens up more cards that you can add to a singleton deck. Right now,
right, but those draws without Raza, where you have those Inspire cards and you're a priest and you don't have Raza, you're like, oh no.
Exactly.
Last 10 cards, last 5 cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May the fun begin.
Absolutely.
Good luck getting that far.
All right, let's talk about a Warlock card. Only Warlock card this week, because we've seen a lot of them already. 6-mana card, it's a spell. It's a rare card, Fellfire Potion. Deal 5 damage to all characters.
With Cho'Gall. Yeah, maybe not the greatest synergy.
Ouch. Yep. That's like 11 damage. And you
Well, afterwards you play Molten Giant, so...
I like what you're thinking.
Guys, like, turn 9, like, the guy's got, like... Turn 8, he just goes like Fellfire, like Cho'Gall, Fellfire Potion, drop double Molten, Sun Fury. Like turn 9 after the Cho'Gall was played.
You need to get an Emperor discount or two so that you can go like
easy
Cho'Gall, Fellfire, Molten Giant, Reno.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the turn.
Oh my God. That's the game plan you're looking for. And that way you reset the game and die to Brawl. And then you can play your real game with Jirachis. that's where the game really starts.
You gotta love it. Well, you know, with obviously a big theme of Warlock is removal, right? We've seen the Abyssal Infernal or whatever it was last week. That's basically a Hellfire with a 6/6, and now this, and definitely adding removal to Warlock is good. So I don't know, maybe the Reno Warlock gets better, maybe a control oriented Warlock gets better, but I don't know. All these other classes having such tempo plays, I'm kind of starting to realize why Warlock has these removal cards, because they're gonna need it.
Yeah, this is a powerful card, but like 5 damage to your own face as Warlock is really tough.
Yeah. With no heals on the horizon.
If you've played this before the Thunderblood Valiant, you literally reset. Like, there's nothing left. There's nothing left, right? Unless I'm mistaken. Right.
But you do take 5, and then they get to develop on an empty board first.
Right.
Right. Yeah. If you get Hellfire Potion and then play Molten Giant, I'd be really into that. But the Molten Giant sucks. So.
But they starve for cards, right? I don't think you do as Warlock against them. Like, if you clean up that board mid-game, I think you're able to stabilize pretty hard. I mean, there's already a Handlog being played right now on Ladder.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited to see how Hellfire Potion goes, if it's good enough to see play in Reno Lock. It's interesting. Might be great.
I still think heal needs to be there somewhere. You can't just heal from what we... I think there needs to be another heal card added to the game somewhere.
I miss Healbot.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they've got Cabal. They've actually added Kazakus to all the classes that can use Reno-like effects. Like, you've got...
Oh, okay. But
you've got Mage that can play it for free, the potion, the 10 costs. You've got Priest that can probably get there because Raza. And you've got Warlock that can just choke all it. Like, I don't know if it's worth it, but...
Yeah, but choke all it. You're just damaging yourself for how much you're healing. Yeah,
and resetting
anyway.
The health, but you're getting an effect on top of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... It depends on what the effects all are. I don't know them all, but 6 damage to all minions seems pretty board clear heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go move on to the Shaman cards. So finally, we're starting to see Shaman cards. And before this, I was actually a little worried, like, why they hadn't showed us Shaman cards, because maybe they're really powerful.
They're not going to give
Spirit Claws.
They'll just leave it like it is.
Yeah, but after seeing this, I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. All right. This is interesting. So let's start off with the one that was announced, I think today, earlier today. It's 4 mana spell. Call in the Finishers. Common, summon 4 1/1 Murlocs.
I flared my nostrils with amusement.
I didn't even get it like originally until I like thought about it a little bit. But okay, this card, 4 Murlocs. I mean, are there any other support for Murloc besides the?
This is a combo with that thing where your Murlocs make the thing cheaper, plus 2 plus 2 is your
everything
stuff.
Can happen, or everything is awesome, I think. So it costs like 3, so for 7 mana you effectively get a full board, like a 4/3/3s.
Yeah, 4/3/3s.
Good.
Yeah,
tiny fin with a tiny fin on top, it actually gets... Actually, this is an easy way to go ahead and play that thing for free, because there's probably you can probably get a bunch of Murlocs on the board.
No, I wouldn't say probably.
I don't know.
They have to hold them all, usually.
There's this class Shaman. I don't know if you've heard of it. Sometimes they play, like, Maelstrom Portal, Lightning Storm. It's actually a little bit tough to stick a board against those guys.
And then there's this class also called Warlock that's like, how many removals? And there's a card, there's a class called Priest, too, that has all this crazy stuff. So, it's pretty hard to play, I think, that type of Shaman. But it's been long overdue, though. They've had this... Any Finn is awesome or whatever card forever now. I mean, that card's going to be retired, actually, right? In the next reset?
Yeah, never going to really see any use.
Yeah, we're not going to even see that card being used. So.
And with Devolve, anyway, you might not.
Yeah. So the next... moving on. Next card is another Jade Golem card. 4 mana, common card, Jade Lightning. Deal 4 damage, summon a Jade Golem. All right, compare this to, I guess, you can compare it to the Rogue card, right? That does 2, the shirt.
Or Swipe, or whatever.
Kind of like this better than the Rogue card, because...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
Think so?
I like because no overload. It's like 4 damage, 1/1, worst case. And, well, you kill an Azure Drake with it.
There's this card, how's it called? Lava Burst? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you want to kill a Azure Drake, you either Lava Burst or you Jade Lightning. I'll take my chances with Jade Lightning. I think this card is just good no matter where.
Just straight up?
You play it. Okay. I think it's just a straight up good card.
It's close shaman? To that. I don't know if it's a straight up good card. Like, nobody ever wanted to Lava Burst an Azure Drake in the first place. Like, that's not a fair comparison, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want a Lava Burst because it's three mana. I win the game. You're
dead now. Yeah. How about Jade Lightning?
And Jade Lightning does not, it costs one more and deals one less, right? Yeah. So, but it is much better as a board control card. But is it okay as a board control? Like, how good is Shadow Bolt? And then this, yeah, it's pretty good, I guess.
I mean, to come in for Arena, it's going to be like a nice thing. Like, you can draft two of those or three, maybe, plus like one or two other. It could be interesting, like, maybe not definitely for Constructed, but in Arena, you might pick it. Not the worst stat on turn
I'm picking
four.
This. I'm putting this in my control shaman. The list is loose enough that you can fit this in.
So
I could use some more spot removal that isn't terrible. Like, Stormcrack is good, but I'd triple up on Stormcracks if I could. Like, that's what I do.
So on a different, like, completely different, spectrum of decks, this is another burn face card, actually.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility? With Shaman, before Crackle was, obviously, right? And this is adding, I mean, it's expensive, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, it's not efficient. So, like, Crackle was 4.5 damage on average for, two mana up front. This is 4 damage.
Yeah.
For 4 mana. So it's not nearly efficient. However, burn cards do kind of get better with other burn cards, right? Like, the strategy as a whole gets better the more, like,
you
consistent
get
it is, the more you have, the more you have of it, right?
Yeah.
So it maybe. And it is, I think it is, like, kind of this and the Wild Growth one are kind of the strongest of the Jade Golem cards. They're cards that might be playable outside of Jade Golem decks,
right.
I think.
Yeah. The most versatile or flexible.
I'll just mention that we don't know yet what the other cards are, and if there are any good Jade Golem cards, this card is batshit crazy. Like, if
there has to be,
If they have good Jade Golem generation, for instance, then this could be Control Shaman's win condition type stuff. Like, when they just don't have threats, then hey, might as well just slap Jade Lightning on top of everything else I'm already doing. So I think it's going to be more on the control side of things, more so than like the typical decks we're used to now. Like, you have to remember that the rotation hits and we're losing a bunch of totem synergy. I don't know how much Blood is going to push Shaman towards being spell damage control based, because that's a possibility. They could definitely push them to go in that direction.
Shaman's going to get gutted, like, to an extent. So, definitely,
and that's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they have this period of superpower, like, powerfulness with the Spirit Claws and the Maelstrom Portal, just with the Trog and the Totem Golem. But two of those things are going to go away soon. So
that's not soon. That's so many months.
Yeah, we're always saying soon.
Months. Oh my gosh! Come on, it's not that far away. Is it? Like, dude, 2-3.5 months?
So much happens in 3 months. Yeah, I don't know. True, I have to play a lot of games on Hearthstone.
Well, the scary thing is that there has... I mean, if you look at what the Druid got for Jade Golem, there has to be some good stuff Jade Golem-wise. I mean, this is only the first one. There has to be at least another Jade Golem card specific to Shaman. So
there must be... I'm imagining, like, two out of the... Well, how many did they get each?
They at least got two, right? So... Idol and
how many cards do you get total? Like, how many did Druid get?
Oh, they get 9. I mean, they get 9 in total, right? Class cards.
So I'm thinking there's going to be at least 2 to 3 more. Like, I'm going to say 3 more Jade Golem cards for Shaman.
Scary, man. that's
the thing is, they're not going back to that theme, right? I think they mentioned that this was the only time they did tri-class cards, and I'm assuming that's going to be the last time they do Jade Golem cards, because, like, that's faction-based, the whole Jade Lotus thing.
Yeah.
So if that's the last time we see that theme, then they better, like, stack up quite a few cards for that.
It's going to be super strong. Okay, well, the last one is a spell. It's a 2-mana rare card, Devolve. So, opposite of Evolve, obviously. Transform all enemy minions into random ones that cost 1 less. So, it's pretty much the opposite of Evolve. You're going to be transforming your opponent's minions and transforming them down 1. It's a transform card. You know, like, a lot of people think this is garbage, but, transformation cards are powerful.
Absolutely.
In
like Savannah's.
Yeah.
Evolve.
Any death rattle.
Yeah, exactly.
You already had Hex as the issue, though, because that's the reason people don't like the card is they say, well, I already have Hex. Do I need a third Hex?
Yes.
That's the only time you use... really is when you need to, like, a third Hex, I think. And I think for instance, Control Shaman can cut one of their spells for a single Devolve, and it's fine. Likewise with Jade Lightning. I think Control Shaman is getting actually a lot of flexibility love in the set so far. Like, the flexibility of the stuff I get is really awesome. Like, that's one of the decks I've played the most with Blood Warriors. So it's just, like, I really like that archetype.
Thoughts on
so,
the
So,
yeah.
it's AoE, right? It, like, Hex is spot removal, Devolve is AoE, like, mm-hmm. it's all. Yeah. So, Shaman has really good AoE tools, and this seems worse than the currently existing Shaman AoE tools, in my view.
Well, depending on the decks, I guess, because against Zoo, one of the, like, annoying things is their one-drops. Like, as if you don't have... If you as control Shaman without Storm, like, it's pretty tough if you end up falling behind a bit. What if I can make the one-drops all Wisps, then I'm down for that. Like, they're all becoming one-on-ones for sure.
Are you going to cut a Storm or a Portal for this, or do you want a fifth AoE effect?
Well, I think... I might actually cut one of the two. The Overload is really punishing
control
Shaman.
I wouldn't. Well... So if Nazoth decks get popular again, I think Devolve is like the counter to basically Nazoth decks. Like any of those Twilight Summoners, those scenarios where
they already have Hex, you already counter Nazoth decks.
No, but we're talking about like a full Nazoth deck, not just like a couple of them. So not just the Sylvanas, not just that. I mean, when you're talking about Torrens and you know all that crazy stuff, like it is removable with one card after a Devolve versus. You know, you'd have to play two. You'd have to play like Animal Destruction, or at least a Malshan Portal or Lightning Storm into an Elemental Destruction to actually clear the board, right? So
I think this is just a good counter to Grime Street decks. Like that's just it. You buff
that too. Yeah,
like rip your buffs. They're just gone. I don't think we needed more buff hate in the game because they already like buffs seem pretty crappy in general. But like, you know, we used to talk all of us about, hey, you know, that Flood Paladin with a bunch of one drops. Oh, fuck off. Like it's gone. That's just,
it turns back into little mini men. They all turn back into silver hands.
One of the things I love about it though, is that's a great tech card against any Fin Can Happen Pally. Like that's where I think
it kind of
does better. It's another transform effect that isn't Tink Master level random. That's pretty good. It's got to be good.
It's powerful.
It's decent. It's like not overpowered. It's decent. It's okay to play, and it can be really great in certain situations, I guess.
I think there's a world in which like this card is so beyond busted, we're not even seeing it.
Well,
right.
It's a
like,
counter tech card. That's what
like,
it is.
I wouldn't even be surprised if you told me this was insane.
I don't think it can be insane.
I think this card is bad. It's too situational. There's spots where it's insanely good, for sure. And I think too often it's like quite weak.
I would not be surprised if it was really, really, really good.
Well, yeah. I think on ladder, it probably is not going to be like consistent enough for ladder. But for events, depending on the format, I think this card could be great. Like, let's just throw out, like, I don't know, sideboard. If there was some kind of sideboard format, this card would be actually pretty darn good, like, as a potential sideboard card, depending on what is popular in the meta or whatnot. It can be used specifically for things, and events at least allow for that kind of thing.
Situationally very powerful. I think it's kind of like bad right now, but I can definitely imagine like future formats where things have changed a lot. It could be much more powerful, right?
Yeah, I think in the right meta, that thing is just kind of an auto include, but right now it's not quite there yet. We'll have to wait.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for the cards, guys. That was some good stuff. Oh. We had some good cards to discuss this
week.
That's
it? So, yeah. That's it? Man, we went through like, I don't know, 20 cards. Was there a card announced? Did we miss a card here?
We missed a 6 drop for Druid, that's for sure.
We did miss a 6 drop for Druid? Or you mean
6
like,
mana 3/6 that summons a Jade Golem.
Oh, Jade Behemoth.
That basically makes Aya Blackball even more insane because suddenly Jade you have Behemoth. 3 turn 6 oh, plays that work off of each other and you have Jade Blossom, which
3/6.
And they changed Jade Idol to a rare, actually. They just saw the tweet. They changed Jade Idol to rare and not common anymore.
That totally changes everything about it.
Totally changes Arena. Like
that just means they're going to be playing in Arena. So the Jade stuff will be in Arena. Yeah, that's what it signifies to me, at least. But let's look at this card real quick. So this is the Jade Behemoth that they announced here. Somebody's knocking in. 3/6. What do you guys think about 3/6 taunt?
Well, it's clearly not good enough without Jade Golem support. Like 6 mana 3/6 taunt plus a 1/1. You know, that's just not strong enough for what you're paying for it. But with Jade Golem support, I think it's clearly bonkers, right? If you're playing Jade Golem deck, jam everything that says Jade Golem in there, including this one.
I mean. It's insane, right? I mean,
yeah.
How can Jade Golem deck not be good? It's crazy. I mean,
I think Priest and Druid are going to be the best two classes.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of Priest?
I don't even think
Dragon. Like Dragon Priest will shit on Druid. Like
there's that card called Raza, you know, Rala Priest.
What?
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think Raz is so strong, but the what it fits in is so bad.
Yeah,
but
I think Dragon Priest. I'll just play Control Priest. Dragon Priest and Druid will probably take a shit on everyone at first, and then we'll see if the metagame stabilizes. That's my expectation, just based on the cards we've seen and the general trends of Hearthstone in the past in terms of like what it means to have a certain type of minion.
The Dragon Priest is so boring, though.
I don't want to play. I don't want to play that deck. I won't even build it. I'm not even playing Dragon Priest. I'm not even building it. I already know for a fact that I've tried it every single time. It's been remotely playable, and I've never enjoyed it. So I hope it's not too good.
There's just no decision.
There was a Dragon Priest I enjoyed once. There was it was with Genie. Dragon Genie Priest was a good time.
That was such a short time though, but yeah, that was fun. I give you that. Man. But yeah, it'll be. Yeah. I don't know. I'll be very excited to see the race that basically Jade Golem Druid has with a Dragon Priest when they go at each other. Because at a certain point, if the priest doesn't have enough tempo, then their druid is going to run.
They get buried. But the thing is, like, going to run them with over. That's why the 6-minute 3/6 is such a big deal, because it dies to a lot of stuff priest does, and it's just. It's cool, but if Priest is already on board with a 5-minute 5/6, rip your board, dude. Bookworm comes out, and you are screwed out of your life. Like, good lord. It's really spooky as a druid.
Yeah, druid can't come back with spells, so they have to come back with just bigger minions. And yeah. I don't know. I'm just scared about the druid just being, holy shit, I'm putting 8/8s down, like, eight-eights and 9/9s down on turn 8, you know, just as a single turn. That's freaking ridiculous.
So. That's the crazy part is, like, if you get a wild growth into, like, an innervate, the 6-minute 3/6.
Yeah.
If you're not against Priest, you're probably going to have a good time.
Yeah, All right, well, let's do some Q&A, guys, before we go. We got a bunch of email questions this week, so thanks. Thank you so much for writing those in. And if you want to get your questions in next week, go ahead and email valuetown@chamanb.tv, and you'll be able to do that. Actually, before we do that, I wanted to give a shout-out to all our iTunes and patrons here. So for those of you that do listen to the show on iTunes, it helps us out in a big way if you guys leave a review and leave a 5-star so people can find us when they're searching for Hearthstone podcasts. So I want to give a shout-out to Boondoggle, Pure623, and Ajax Dutchman for the last few reviews and the nice words that they left there. Also, our patrons. We can't do the show, guys, without you guys, the patrons. The show is 100% backed by and funded by you guys, the community and the patrons. And I wanted to give a huge thanks to our producer and legendary producers, Mike T and Lewis G, as well as a few others, Albert M, Gregory W, Chloe C, Matthias S, Bruce W, NorCal BW, David T, and Elu45. Thanks so much for being patrons, and you know, if you guys enjoy the show, you guys want the show to continue in 2017, definitely go to patreon.com/valuetown and you know, think about pledging to it, because it definitely helps in a big way. Currently, we've met our milestone that we need. We just need to maintain that milestone. So thank you so much to all the folks. Yep. And now that we have Noxious Angelay on here, thanks so much for you guys for doing that. And I don't think we've made our next milestone, which is we basically allocate a moment on the show for a big smile fest. So just because we have
a big smile fest.
Yes. I can't wait to get
that.
Ray
is amazing.
On the show.
I'm down
get
for that.
Ray on the show and have him have to do that, dude. We're $6 away from that. So
he's not doing that, dude. I don't think
he'll do it.
He's gonna be like, you know what? Fuck
maybe
off.
For $7, though, maybe for $7.
$7. Actually, Ray would have been here if it wasn't for DreamHack. So he'll be on very soon. So make that happen, guys, before you go. Because that will be freaking awesome. Okay, let's go on to some emails here. See, first question from John Binbutzel. Are you guys as disappointed as I am with the BlizzCon? We received no feature or process change. I was holding out hope for an arena ladder leaderboard or some sort of tiered standard ladder system update that doesn't just reward time commitment and grind, maybe only dropping 5 rank buckets every season or moving 1 star per rank down the line from 20. Do you guys think we'll see these or something like these? I'm a new father, simply do not have time to take time it takes to hit legend, but easily hit rank 5 every season. Thanks for reading and putting together a great podcast. So I guess the announcement of BlizzCon first. Were you guys expecting more than just, you know, Mean Streets of Gadgetzan? Ponyoff, what are your thoughts?
Nah, I actually just expected the expansions. Blizzard is just slow when it comes down to that. Also, the problem is we can't give people a lot of stats, for example, because if the average player sees his stats, he's never going to play Hearthstone again. She's like, oh, I have a 30% win rate. I'm pretty good at this game. So yeah, that's like not happening. But I would love arena leaderboards. That's like, there's no reason why this doesn't exist at all.
Do it external. It doesn't even have to be in the game. Just put it in the Blizzard.
Internal's better, but external would be good too.
Yeah, do BattleNet, Hearthstone, whatever.
Just arena leaderboards would be so awesome. I would love that.
Yeah,
like that's why I don't play arena. There's just like nothing competitive about it to me. I'm just like, I don't know. Got 12 wins, okay.
Yeah.
Congrats, now go on to your next run and get 12 wins again, dude.
I think it was Crypt that said that he doesn't like that idea, which is kind of interesting.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think he just thinks it promotes, like,
it promotes Mage.
It promotes, it promotes.
I can see that argument,
It can definitely.
You need to fix game balance to go with this a little bit.
Maybe in the beginning, but in the end, I mean, if you want to have fun, you'll just vary. I mean, you pick crazy cards too, like, Servant of Yogg-Saron.
That's a really good point.
YOLO.
You need to fix class balance if you're going to create a leaderboard. Otherwise, you're forcing people to play what they don't want to play in order to compete. And that's a real feels bad man moment. Let me tell you about that.
That's true. Definitely. And then lastly, what do you think about just the starting ranks every season? I mean, is there really any point of dropping us to freaking 15 anymore? I mean, could they just... Well,
Blizzard clearly thinks so. I don't like the system.
They don't think so. They're not changing the system, because if they were changing it, they're gonna do it as like their quote unquote final revision, I think. But I don't think they.
Why would it have to be a final revision? It's a living game.
That's the way
Blizzard
works. We're not arguing from a logic standpoint here. We're trying to argue from a administrative standpoint. Like, the company's grown so big, from my understanding at least, that every single thing you do usually
process.
The process time is pretty huge in terms of like how much verification goes into it. So if you make those changes, they take a lot of time for a lot of people. And if it's going to be a temporary fix, then it better be like a priority that makes people quit in droves. Otherwise, that's a lot of effort for very little return. I agree with you that I don't like the system. I don't think anybody does. And I don't think Blizzard likes it either. They've mentioned that they don't like the ladder system as it stands, not just the grinding, but the whole monthly reset into meaninglessness. It's just, it feels bad.
Yeah,
but
I mean, all he's asking for is just that the starting point is higher, and I agree with that. Like, I'm tired of starting at 15. I'm like, why not start at like 10 or something like that?
If it's a little better. For them, I'm down. But
yeah, I mean, there's no huge benefit or I don't know anything. Like,
on the other hand, I like starting at 16 sometimes. Then I just play, like, I make the first six ranks with a super crazy wonky decks, and then I just start going slowly more serious the lower you go. Yeah, so it's like, just from a fun standpoint, like, you go for Mill Rogue, you play Inspire whatsoever, you play, I don't know what, Velen Priest.
You can still
and
do
suddenly
that.
Suddenly from rank 10
you
on,
can do
you
that
start
in
go a bit more serious.
No, I mean, you can do that at rank 10 too. I mean, if everybody started at rank 10, you can do that again and just drop down. You know, it's just this guy who doesn't have much time is basically saying that, you know, I just would prefer just to immediately start at like rank 10 versus, you know, rank
20. Well, you could pay $10 to just rank up. You just like pay $10 per rank. And then
I want to say like ranks are not equal. Like, if you get to 5 every season, starting at 10 instead of 15, it's never going to get you to legend.
Yeah.
It might get you to like rank 4 or 3 at the
it's
most.
It's not going
to
matter much. Like, the issue is like when you
the drop, ranks get so much harder.
Yeah. Like, if you're in legend and you drop to rank, like, number one, dropping to rank 5 right away would be like a blessing. That'd be like step one. Just like, at least rank 5 helped me out.
Yeah.
Maybe rank 3. That'd be great. You know, if I
can. I think legend to 5 is like a pretty reasonable drop off every month. Like, I think
that's
fair.
It's the beginning of it. Because, like, if you don't win, like, let's assume you go with a really good win rate, but you don't win streak from 16 into 5, it's hell. It's like, it's just.
It is.
It's the worst feeling. It's like you're playing actual rank 5, but you're not streaking, so it just sucks. Like, that's the worst.
That's the grind.
Like, one win, one loss.
Yeah.
One win, one loss. Like, that is just depressing. And you can climb through 5 with that, but it's just.
It's the grind, man. That's exactly what it is. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Royce Brown asks, I'm a podcast listener, big fan of the show. He asks, let's see, I've looked at the numbers, and the Gadgetzan meta will have the deepest card pool in history of standard Hearthstone by a significant margin. 897 cards compared to the 739 when League was released, 720 when the first standard rotation hit, and 765 in the current meta. What effect do you all think this will have on the game? We've seen extremely refined meta at the present. Do you think this will result in more diversity or more majority, or will a vast majority of these cards be lost in the shuffle? Will the meta become faster? Can the wild be can the way wild has operated teach us anything about what to expect with this many resources? Okay, that's a good question. So we have it looks like we've got, or we will have an additional, that this full set will be in addition to what used to be, the max cards we've had. So we're going to have basically 130 more cards than we've ever had. So having access to that many more cards, are we going to have more diversity to the metagame? Or do you see it being pretty much the same, anything different there, or any effects for having more cards?
Well, as a general rule, more cards in a metagame allows for more diversity. There are exceptions to that, where if something broken is allowed to exist, shaman. But but generally, a bigger metagame has more potential answers, and there creates for more balanced options, as long as you just kind of stomp on some of the overpowered stuff from time to time. Like, maybe don't give the best class the best cards with Spirit Claws and Maelstrom Portals.
That really did hurt a lot. I think it's kind of funny because, we remember the days of Undertaker Hunter and all those really, really overpowered decks that were stifling the meta, or overpowered cards, rather, should I say. Not decks, but just cards, if you really look at it. And now we're in a position where there's no individual card responsible for our misery.
It's just like cards.
It's a lot of cards that are blatantly responsible. Yeah.
if they're fine individually, but the moment you start stacking all of them together, it's a nightmare. Yeah.
He's right. Like Trog and Tunnel Call, like Trog and Totem Golem, by itself, it's strong, but it wasn't oppressive. Now with Spirit Claws and Maelstrom Portal, if you just take two of those, or those two sets separately, then it's not nearly as oppressive and terrible. Like, the other classes have a shot at getting early game, at least a shot.
I'll put it that way. I think Spirit Claws was designed to incentivize a type of deck that wasn't just hero power, get a spell damage source, right? I think there had an idea behind it that was more akin to that of Master of Ceremonies. It sounds janky as fuck, but I think they knew what they were doing in terms of, hey, this card can be played anywhere, but we want to encourage people to try out this archetype that they don't necessarily play right now. The issue is it wasn't tuned properly to where it wasn't playable in typical decks, but it was playable in those decks. It's not there, unfortunately. So because of the slight error in tuning, I think that's why we end up with the stuff we have.
It's just missed timing too, with just how they powered everything.
Just release it with Mean Streets, and then we have it 2 months and not five or six now. Or
when we see the reset in March, I think is when things will
shake up.
Yes, things will really shake up, and we'll see. We'll see a lot of new things happen. Until then, it's not going to happen next month, right, guys?
No.
So, like Zalei says, we still got 3 months of grudging through that. But once March comes, it's going to be really, really great.
There's no reason for the meta for Shaman to change. Okay, new decks are coming, but just tech in the one or the other card and still play it like it is, more or less, and snowball early game to death.
Yeah.
Dragon Priest might give them honestly, the potion stuff is good. Fellfire Pot and Dragon Fire just give me hope. Those cards seem like they could keep in check some of the stuff those decks are doing.
Okay, right. So next question we've got here is Honeybee asks, I'm helping my friend to get into Hearthstone lately, but I'm struggling to give them good advice for how to progress forward. They did all the starter things like secret quests, leveling up to 10, and they bought the welcome pack. What would be the best value for the money? Buy more packs or get one of the adventures? One Night of Karazhan seemed like a very good investment, but it has some strong cards and won't rotate out soon, but I heard people talk negatively about it also. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions on new player experience and what advice you would give. That's always the toughest question right now.
Go ahead, Zalei.
Yeah. Adventures over packs every time, right?
Every time.
I don't think it's ever close. Definitely.
Adventures over packs.
But buy adventures with gold. Buy them with money.
It takes too long.
And I'd like to point out also that people speak ill of Gadgetzan now because it was a bad expansion in terms of card quality, just because it changed nothing and everything got worse. It's the cards are good. If your friend wants to win, then Jesus Christ, should he get Karazhan and just play Midrange Shaman, which is a pretty cheap deck. It's a very cheap deck dust-wise. Your friend wants to progress, okay, craft Thunderbolt, Valiant, and TGT. Don't go ahead and buy a ton of packs for that set, and then just go in, craft the Midrange Shaman, and get Karazhan, because that's going to increase your win rate by 40%. So it's pretty crazy to think that Like, we don't like Karazhan, but it contains so many good cards. Like, Onyx Bishop, it sucks to me that, like, Onyx Bishop and Priest of the Feast are in there, but I'm just not capable of playing Priest, or it's not doing as much as I'd like. Like, those cards are good, but they're not working right now. So the set will become better once the old cards rotate out in March or whatever. That's going to happen. The next set happens after December. When the rotation hits, like, Karazhan will be good. So your friend should get it. Like, so, I just think your friend should get it.
Another thing, too, with, like, people just getting into the game that I would recommend is just focus on one deck. You know, like, don't try to get every single deck that's good right now, because you just won't. Like, it's going to cost you a lot of money to, like, even get it. So focus on something like Zoo. Focus on, you know, maybe Shaman. I think Zoo will probably be sticking around a lot longer than Shaman, just at its current state. And they're cheap. They're not very expensive, too. So focus on how much dust that you need for it, and focus on what, you know, adventures you probably need to get the key cards for that deck. I mean, a lot of it's basic, too. So, I mean, there at some point, you need to buy basic cards, too, to an extent. Maybe not Zoo. I guess Zoo doesn't have many basic cards.
I think that's really good advice, Chia, man. Yeah. Focus on one deck. Yeah. Dust the stuff you don't need for that one deck, right, and craft the most perfect version of that one deck you possibly can, and learn how to play it well. That's how you win.
Because Kindred is pretty easy to get.
Focus.
The more you win, the more gold you get, too. So, you know, there's actual
benefits. There's something to be said about grinding faster with the deck you know well. So the focus on one deck is even...
And the new players, too. They, like, that's what they have no idea where to even start. So just focus one deck and go with that. There's some good beginner guides out there, too. Like, Sheng used to make those great guides back in the day that were all free to play and great things like that. So hopefully that helps out. Let's see, next one. Davin Perry. He asked, do you think that the level of play has gotten better at every rank, or that the cards have gotten to a state where you need to buy premium cards from the current sets if you wish to climb the ladder? Do you think designers should create cards with potent synergies with the permanent cards for every expansion going forward?
For the first question, definitely yes.
Yeah, players definitely have gotten
better all across the board. People, like, you know, as time goes on, people are getting better at Hearthstone for sure, everywhere.
I mean, I got something told to me when I was at BlizzCon that surprised me. An admirable came up to me and said, you know what, the future of Hearthstone is hand reading, which is like you try to figure out what your opponent's holding, and that's like, that's Hearthstone. But I feel like that's always been Hearthstone. Like, if you don't keep track of the hand, what have you been doing?
How can you do a babbling book and swashbucklers
But I mean, no, just like, think about a consistent deck when there's no randomness. I feel like all the good Hearthstone players have been doing that. Either I've been like not looking at the game right, or I feel like most people do that. Like, I suck at mechanical play in Hearthstone for some reason. Like, I butcher the trades because I don't pay attention, and it just slides by me. But hand reading seems like a really cool skill to acquire. And I think that's the next evolution. Like, once you reach a level where you're good, like Firebat, where you're good, like the top 10 legend grinders, the next edge you can get is probably just figuring out what your opponent's holding. And that seems like, once you've perfected that quote-unquote mechanical skill, the perfect mulligan, you know the matchups inside out, then once you learn hand reading, you're going to get a lot better. And I'm told that right now, one of the big things in Hearthstone is getting that edge, because there's so little edge to be found in gameplay, because everybody's playing so well because they've played the deck so much.
Yeah.
This extra edge is going to get added, and suddenly, as you mentioned, you know, in the question, yeah, people are going to get even better, and you will suffer for it, and it's normal. It's just...
Well, I mean, I think his card is a little bit more in regards to, like, do I need to buy these premium cards? And, yeah, some of the top decks, I think, do have, you know, the latest cards. You know, some of them have legendary cards that you just have to add.
I mean, it's obvious. It's a card game. In the end, yes, better cards will help you to win more games, but that's card games. That's why we play them so much and so long, and that's why we have all the beautiful cards. And if you're new...
Beautiful cards.
Yeah, you know, if you join Counter-Strike for the first time ever, you get shot in the head all the time, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. But that's a nice thing about Hearthstone. It kind of leads to the last question, which was, there are a lot of different decks, and there are a lot of different powerful decks, and, you know, all these decks... Again, you don't have to have them all. You just have to have one if you're trying to climb the ladder. And the last one is, like, do you think the cards that they create each of these sets or whatnot should synergize with the basic card, you know, the cards that are evergreen, basically, that stick around forever? Should it be there would be, I guess, motivation to do that, so that whenever a new set comes in, you know, they can maybe synergize in a different way, and it doesn't just completely break things. You know, like, you're taking out like a third of what, like, a dragon deck was, you know, like when we were losing like Black Rock or something like that. Have them like specifically synergize with the basic deck.
Well, a redesign of the basic set would be nice to accommodate for
in theory.
No, but the point is good. The question is really good because, yeah, of course, we'd like the basic set to be synergized with, but there are some cards that, unfortunately, you synergizing with it is absurd. But there are some cards and expansions that have gone past that I wish were still available.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, stuff like Illuminator. Like, I keep going back to that example, but it's such a cool card. And you can design around it. Like, we're looking at Cabal Lackey, and we're looking at the Cabal Crystal Runner right now, coming up in the next set, and there's no Illuminator that I can just play on turn three, sure. You know, on top of Kirin Tor Mage. And that idea of designing basic set to synergize with the future expansions, I think, is the only reason you have a basic set in the first place.
Right.
Like, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the big reasons. So, yeah, I agree with the idea that we should do that. And I think it's important that Blizzard redesigns some of the basic set to accommodate for that.
Yeah. Okay, how about we have a question for one more. Last question here, and I know there's like actually a few more too, so we'll have to pick those up next week. But Alexander Caruso asks, I just started hitting Legend recently, and since the new competitive season starting this month, I was thinking of pushing for a top 100. Do you all have any advice on how to do this best? Should I try to get high rank soon, or does it really matter yet? What to remember, what to avoid? I mean, I think Zalea probably it matters. The best to give advice here.
You know, if you want to optimize your chance of finishing high, basically you want to try and get high early and stay high. You just
wake and bake.
Try and play a lot and win a lot and be just, you know.
But don't wait till the last
play when
minute,
you're super focused. Right? Don't wait till last minute, That's a thing that people do to, like, save themselves time, but it lowers their chances of succeeding.
Yeah.
So, if your whole goal is to finish high, play a lot and play
the
well.
So there,
play the tier. Well, there's one. Play the tier one deck. that's mid shaman.
Actually, play the one learn the mirror match. By the way, it's really important. It's like really important. You learn the mirror match.
That's
such a common occurrence on the ladder. You should probably learn it.
So I've heard the theory, and I've heard on other, you know, just other players talking about it or whatnot. And Pony, I'm going to ask you, because you play during this time. I mean, you stream during this time. Is that 7 to 8 a.m. range, I guess, here on the eastern side, like this super early morning, an easier time to play on ladder?
I notice I play Mill Rogue, right? And it was like in the morning, it went insanely good. And actually, it was like win, lose, win, lose. Yeah. But then it suddenly, at like around, let's say, 12, 1 o'clock, ladder gets harder. I don't know why. But it's like in the morning, I guess there are a lot of people that are sleepy or they just stood up where they play like at 3 a.m. in the night. And you have an easier time. They do stupid things or they play crazy stuff or they concede earlier. Like they see,
they're on the bus, dude.
Innervate Emperor, concede.
Like, Cold Light Oracle, concede.
Fed up. Yeah. So it's like often, really easier in the early morning.
That's actually logical, right? The early concede is logical in that metagame because you know the metagame is soft and easily beatable. So you don't want to waste a lot of time on a losing game. You want to get into that next easily winning game faster.
Yeah, that's true. So you can get the Innervate Emperor and watch the guy concede. So it's like the Nash Equilibrium makes it a non-issue. Like, just ultimately no one wins.
That's so true. All right, well, hopefully that helps you out, Alex. And thanks to everybody for writing in those questions. Keep them coming. Again, valuetown@champenv.tv is where you're going to be wanting to send your questions. But why don't we wrap up the show? Man, fantastic show. Awesome having you on, Pony, for the first time. Got to have you on again sometime, man.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Like, I did enjoy it. And it's always fun to talk about Hearthstone with just people that just love the game as much as I do.
Yeah. Any shout outs you want to do, or where can people find you?
Well, they can find me here, probably, like, you know, every day almost, apart from like my one free day on Saturday, but like from tomorrow, 8 a.m. on German times.
Awesome. Yeah. If you want to see positive streamers, man, or just like cheery streamers, Pony's the guy for you, man, because I don't know how he does it. because I definitely can't do that.
Crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine. yeah. All right, Zalea, shout outs. Where can people find you?
You can find my Twitch, twitch.tv/ZaleaHS. Stream every day that I'm not traveling and not Thanksgiving. So, but yeah, check me out. Shout out to Team Luminosity. We're awesome.
Awesome.
And thanks for having me. I love the show.
All right. Noxious, how about you? Oh, you were muted, man.
Nope.
You are muted. Oh, actually, what's going on here? Actually, you're muted. What's going on?
No, yeah, he's muted.
You're muted, man.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go.
Yes. All right, there we go. Sorry. I'm just on YouTube under Noxious GLHF. You can probably find me there. I stream sometimes, but these days I haven't been streaming much Hearthstone, so probably not worth very much. But Noxious underscore HS. Awesome. Yeah.
All right. And I'll round things out. Thank the three of you guys for doing the show today. And everybody that watched, you can find all the show VODs on youtube.com/ChamMV. And this one will be up soon after. All the folks on iTunes, it'll be available on iTunes a little bit later tonight. And yeah, you can... Anything else to really plug? Just go support the show at patreon.com/ChamMV again. It's again, the show is supported by you guys, and you guys will be the ones to, you know, responsible for keeping the show going in 2017. So, yeah, go and check that out if you can, whenever you can. And we want to do that smile. We want to do that smile segment, you know, like every day.
Can't give it away for free.
Exactly. We can't give away our smiles for free. You know, that's just how it is. But that's going to be it, guys, for Ponyhoff, Zalay, Noxious, and myself, ChamMV. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
See ya.